Monday, June 28, 2021, Dakota County Board of Equalization protest hearings at 9 a.m. Dakota County Board of Commissioners at 3 o'clock. Dakota County Board of Equalization regular meeting at 3:30 p.m.
I call the meeting to order. Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Larry Albanese.
Here.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll go on to one, protest hearings. A, board review property valuation protest by considering all papers relating to protest and the findings and recommendations of the referee, and may make the order recommended by the referee or any other in the judgment of the Board of Equalization required by the findings of the referee, or may hear additional testimony or may set aside such findings to hear the protest in 77-15-01.
So
here we go.
Sam, you're on.
Here we go.
However.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for having us again this year. For you guys who don't know me, I'm Sam Ferraro, real estate appraiser. My dad, Frank Ferraro, real estate appraiser.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we appreciate this opportunity. We are here to give you our thoughts on the protest. And for the record, a lot of it's governed by state law. It's not exactly an appraisal process. It's also that plus governed by, you know, Chapter 77 of the Nebraska Constitution. So in all cases here, the burden of proof is on the taxpayer to prove the assessed value is incorrect, or is arbitrary, or in some way needs to be changed. So with that being said, sometimes there could be a reason for us to change a value, but we don't know that reason. So in that case, then it's defaulted to the assessed value. And that's with all 93 counties in the state, and has been that way for at least three decades that I know of. So we'll go one by one. We'll tell you a brief synopsis of what the property is and what the taxpayer believes is incorrect or wrong with the assessed value, and then we'll give you our recommendation, and then if Christy has any comments or we agree on a lot of them. There's some we don't, and then we have no ego about how you feel about our recommendation. If you disagree, that's of course your job. You're the board. You get to decide these things. We are just here to help you make a decision.
So, Sam, do they have evidence of their, I guess, argument here today?
If they do, we have it.
If they do,
I'll stand in, Bob.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So if they a lot of times they just are talking about, you know, taxes or that it went up too much. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you know, there's no real evidence for us to say if it should be lowered or not. A lot of times, you know, Christy will go through the property and look at all the attributes to see if it's
maybe
some,
there is a mistake, but
because we want the assessed value or the record to be correct so that the assessment is correct.
And equalization is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Equalization is a huge deal. So similar properties to be assessed similarly.
Yep.
Okay. So we're gonna start with number two, if that's okay with everyone. And then I'll just go, Ed, last year we got a little behind, so I'll kind of go quickly through them. If anyone has questions, please stop me and feel free to ask any questions you might have.
I got a question real quick. Are we going to do motions on each parcel? Or?
No.
No, okay, I just want to make sure.
Write down if you want what what you think the opinion is, or, you know, and then at the end, we'll make one motion.
With the exception, pull out the exceptions.
Right, yeah. We'll pull out some if we don't agree.
Okay, number two. This is protest number two. So they're when I say number two, that will be the protest number. And then there are lots of other numbers involved, address and parcel number. But just for the sake of speed, I'll just go by protest number if that's okay with everyone. Okay, number two, this one, Mr. McGinty. It's a manufactured home on Dove Trail. He came in, his main concern was that it went, the value went up a lot since last year. He complained about roads. He says, you know, we don't have a country club, we don't have Warren Buffett. He kind of went on for a while, but at the end of the day, he felt it was too much of a hike for 1 year. A lot of times I'm trying to quote the taxpayer on exactly what they said, to give you guys kind of an idea of what they're trying to portray. So in here, you know, he's talking about roads and things, you know, again, not relevant towards the assessed value, because again, other parcels would be assessed on that road, have the same road and such. He basically just gave oral testimony. He is a disabled veteran. I told him to apply for the homes or the disabled vet exemption. And he paid $28,000 for this property in 2008. The assessed value is currently $40,840. This is the first year it was over his purchase price from, 13 years ago. So. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the market is incredibly increased. It has been, the last 2 years have been historically high in value. We have sales of, like in this case, I took a sale, 1537 Lake Avenue, sold for $65,000. It's another manufactured home. It sold in 2020 for $65,000.
I think we're okay with it.
So, no change.
He probably has some land around that too, doesn't he?
I believe it's about
half acre.
Oh, just a half acre. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And can I move?
Yeah, keep going.
Number three, protest number three. This one is.
So if McGinty comes in, then we go back to that one?
We can.
Okay.
This is the bin that was on UTAC's ground.
I took your recommendation.
Yeah. So this was a bin that Farm Credit had on UTAC's ground. Supposedly the contract was paid off. UTAC's did not inform us of that. Farm Service Credit did. They gave us a copy of the bill of sale. So we took it off of Farm Credit and I added it to UTAC's, and they're correct. Their new one will be on at the board meeting today. New change of value.
So before it wasn't under there?
No, it was under Farm Credit.
Oh, so it moves from one property to another,
yep.
Or another,
it was,
one yep. taxpayer to another.
Yep.
Yeah,
they gave us the bill of sale, but yeah, nobody had contacted us before about that.
Must have had it. That's kind of cool. Interesting.
It was in 19.
Hmm. So you have a bill of sale to document that.
Yep.
That'd be perfect.
We do.
And I concurred with Christie's recommendation to move it from that one parcel to the other.
Okay, and I didn't fill that in there, sorry. So that's 186,505 is yours, and we're fourth. Okay.
And the bill of sale is how much?
It does not, 19,514. That's not what we have it at. It's a bill.
So it went from 80, went, so it went up 100,000, but the bill of sale is
actually, it had two bins. One of them did get transferred, one of them didn't. But this is, the 186 is for two bins. So I just transferred the one over to UTEX.
Okay, two bins.
Because one of them was already on there.
So
this was the first year they actually got any change of value notice, so.
So one bin was 82,000 and two bins are 186.
Yeah, 186, yep.
So our recommendation here is concur with Christie at zero. This would go to zero.
It doesn't exist.
for Farm Credit. Leasing, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So it will be.
It'll be on UTEC.
So zero is correct.
Zero is correct, yes, it would be zero for.
Okay, I get it.
It's an improvement on lease plan, yep.
Okay, number seven, Dad, that's you.
Okay.
I had six.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a six?
I don't have a six.
I don't have a six.
We just inserted it.
Oh, we just inserted it.
At the very last minute, so write it down, down here in the back. That was the last minute after I printed this.
There might be a couple of those.
Okay.
Six is the Tri-State Chiropractor Building, down on Dakota Avenue.
39th and Dakota.
Joe, one from 1091 to 1130.
Yep.
The owner gave us the parking lot condition. He felt was poor and has drainage issues. The roof has hail damage, and he has a problem with the tenants, collecting rent on tenants in the last few years.
Time to fix up the.
I was there this morning. I didn't see any damage.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Are those viable concerns or reasons for them?
Yes, if it made a difference. I mean, I didn't see any leaking by any means or anything, or even dents for that matter.
I went out there last week and drove in the parking lot. I took new photos, which are now part of the county record. But the condition that on the assessor card is average. It's a 20-year-old building. I think average, it looked pretty average to me. It didn't look great. It didn't look poor. It looked, and it seems like it's functioning like it should.
The owner requested 1027, and they're freezing the other one.
Is that the building right behind Arby's?
Across the road.
The big building over there.
The big chiropractor's office.
Where the chamber is.
And the coffee shop.
On 39?
Across from Arby's.
Across from Come and Go.
And Come and Go.
Oh.
In the corner.
That building there? Oh, with all that little shop?
Right.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, I should say, that building.
Or not the chamber.
The other, one concern I had was the owner claimed that, you know, the rents are less, but they didn't give us rents. They just said they're less. So I don't know if they were inflated values last year, and now they're just down to market or what. They just said they're less, and I don't know. That's somewhat irrelevant to me as far as.
The people that are renting, he's all of a sudden charging them less money.
Well, we don't know.
I'm just saying, I find Arby's, okay.
Yeah.
That's.
I think there was only one space that wasn't rented out.
One, yeah.
There's only one space that wasn't rented.
So it went up from 40,000.
Yeah.
So not a lot.
There's his list of things.
Okay.
Okay, number seven is Mr. Bright. He is stating that his value has increased 40% in 1 year. And also he provided a sale a half block down from him that had sold, let me see here, it was.
175.
Yes, it was $175,000 a year ago, or I'm sorry, in 2018. He did not provide any other evidence of valuation for his property. And that was a statement that I wanted to bring forth to him, that the way we value property is by recent sales of similar properties. The other thing is that he put a new shed onto his property there in last year, 2020. Paid about $13,000 for it. This gentleman is in construction, and therefore the estimated $13,000 is, in my opinion, material only. Did not indicate a lot of labor was involved in there because he has his own crew to construct. But that was the only information that was provided by him, and therefore I went along with Christie as far as recommendation that there would be no change in his evaluation.
So the, is there a picture of that one or no?
There is a picture.
Right there.
This is the house.
And then there, and then there should be a picture of.
Here's the shed.
There you go.
Is there a,
is it on here?
That's a nice shed.
Should be.
Is that on?
It should be scanned in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the shed.
That shed was only, that has to be way more than $13,000. I would agree.
I'll keep going down. There. There's the home.
How big a shed did they put up?
And here's the shed.
You know the size?
See, it is.
No, that's the pool. The next one, maybe. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Big shed.
They got the materials cheap.
And the camper's beside it.
30 by 40.
Yeah, it's more than a triple for sure.
It is. Is it that? 960?
What's 960?
960 square feet.
What's the dimension?
That's about
30
by 40, 30 by 30 is 90.
I have a sketch of it.
35.
I have a sketch of that one. There's just no total square foot.
And has concrete floor, is he right?
Yeah.
667.
Yes, it does.
20 by 40 would be 800.
So it's a combination of the building that was added and just valuations in general are up.
Right.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Okay, number eight. Mr. and Mrs. Calhoun, Christie came in. This one we changed. Christie and I had Christie, the assessor, and I had to work together. Christie's also the owner here too, different Christie, but not to confuse the issue. But she did bring me in photos. There's a little bit of an issue with the county records as far as data goes. There was a patio area that had been removed. They had some flooding a few years ago. And then we wanted to equalize the house with the other homes of this same style and age. So I worked together with Christie, the assessor here, and we changed the quality of the house. So quality matters, and the patio area is not there. The record was incorrect in two ways that we corrected, and the assessed value, the for 2021 was $292,000, and we recommended the assessed value should be $267,820. She's showing photos of the patio being removed.
Some of those are her comps.
Yeah, she did bring some comparables, not the best comparables, but.
She's in Sasu, right?
She's out off of 20.
It's an acreage. Oh. It's a four-square house. It's an older house that she'd been working on, and she has a good-sized building as well that she added about 3 years ago. That's the house. It's a well-kept house.
It's Tijan's old house.
Yes, it is.
So.
And that's the, and the red square.
They parceled it off way back in the day. Okay, if you think the conditions, just make it a condition change.
We changed that to a 35. Okay.
So you lowered it a bit from where it was then.
And then took the porch off. Mm-hmm.
And then that will re-equalize everything. So then other houses, we actually found a house on
garage.
G Street that's the same house. And then made it the same quality.
And then their building.
That's the new building, right?
Oh, geez.
$50,000.
Yeah, should definitely be able to sell for that or more, I think.
Okay.
Okay, number 11. This one is Mr. Boyd on Blyberg Road. We have
Wow, that is a big job.
So he brought in some photos of some siding and some soffits that are in poor condition. His daughter is living in the property, so it is livable, but he claimed most people probably wouldn't live there, or at least would, you know, make some effort to fix it. He and his daughter have not. Probably was a beautiful house in the day. I believe the condition warranted a change, so I made condition from fair to low plus, or from 15 to 20 in our assessor speak, and that value is 148,260. The preliminary assessed value was 174,030.
We took off that knee wall porch up above there. That's braced
right,
up. That used to be a knee wall porch, and so we took it off. I don't know what you consider that. Nothing really. I wouldn't go out on it.
The house looks a little, like the front actually looks
pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, but it's not.
If
it's
you go,
cool.
Yeah, the back side of, and they were at the, Christy had the reviewers out there this last fall, so we have recent photos of it too. I felt the siding and the soffit, there was like, you could actually literally see through the soffit at one point. But I felt the condition was, you know, it'd be tough to get a loan on, but it's livable. So,
yeah.
$148,000, we felt, it does have some land. But that would equalize it with the rest of the homes, and so Christy and I concur on that one at 148,260.
How do we encourage somebody to fix it? I mean, to get it to.
Good luck.
Yeah.
They'll just have to pay more taxes if they fix it.
I know.
He's also complaining.
That's what I don't like. I want it to be pretty.
So we got the other boy then.
This is his house.
Okay, so that's his
daughter's
living there.
That's his daughter's house. This is his.
Number 12 is his own residence. Again, talking about the roads here, he has a large crack in the basement is the main issue here, the condition. If you, Joan, could you please scroll down? There is a large crack, and I will defer right there. You know, several of you are in construction here. I mean, you guys know more about this than I do. Several of you own lots of properties. There's a crack that runs literally the length
of
the
his
home.
House.
That one. Through that's the finished basement. So that's
the floor. Okay.
Right. Now, the picture on the right is the floor. That's through the middle of the tiles there. And then the picture on the left is the light form basement wall where he believes that he had some water issue and then it, you know, settled and cracked the floor. The other issues of settlement are his doors don't close right and some of the windows have the diagonal cracks that you often see in a foundation or a settlement issue. The assessed value was preliminarily set at 289,160. We did change the condition, or I'm sorry, we added a functional depreciation, which is it has a functional problem, which in this case was the crack in the floor. Yeah. Our recommendation is 264,850, and we concur with the assessor on that value.
How many acres of land is with that place?
This one?
31.
31 acres. What do you have the land value at then?
42,770.
So the land would be equalized with other farmed land. We typically don't like to change land unless it is categorized wrong in some way. So like his farmland is exactly the same as every other farmer with the same soil types. So in this case, we did not change land at all. We just changed the improvements here.
Yep.
Okay.
Number 13. This is Webb.
Yes, Mrs. Webb came in and she stated that her property has not had any changes since 2010 except for removing a few trees and a fence. which we consider as minor. She indicated that there was several properties in the neighborhood that stated that the properties are valued lower. We took a look at some of those properties there, and some of those properties there were not sales, recent sales there, but are assessed values is what she's looking at there. So she really didn't provide any evidence or indications that there was any values of her property that she was wanting to go back to the $100,000 that she is requesting.
These must be all comparable.
Yeah. Is her square footage? I mean,
it has a three-car garage, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It has a partial basement, doesn't it? Or not?
Let's see.
It's been added on to you several times.
Yeah.
Yes.
It does have a partial
basement.
Yeah, there's the three-car garage. Mm-hmm. It's a nice-looking garage.
Is the house in really good condition inside now?
We don't go inside.
We don't, yeah.
Don't, you just walk around then.
Right.
And outside appearances.
Outside appearances look.
Yeah.
I think the assessor's record for the outside appearances is correct, is accurate. So
it went from 118 to 132, 225, and you guys settled up on 131, 325.
Yep. I did change a shed. They had a yard shed as a utility building. I changed it to a yard shed. It was only 216 square feet. I don't feel that's a utility building.
So they did a big addition on the back of that house.
Yeah.
Because that's, yeah.
She
so
is
for the front, it doesn't look that big.
1,880 square feet on the main, and the total is 2,056. So it's a good size house.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that big.
Worthless.
Yeah, it is. Much bigger than it appears from the street.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank, you got 14?
Okay, number 14.
Let's see what that is.
Oh.
Click land only, huh?
Yes.
Yes. This is a land only. He made the statement there is no water, electricity, or sewer on the property then. It's a vacant site, as we can see there. He did not indicate whether there is a possibility of being able to provide utilities on the land, but he just made, he just made the statement that there is none at this time.
How many acres is it?
They're individual lots. It's a whole subdivision.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that one up in Ponca, right on the line?
Yep. And he owns the back lot, and he paid $50,000 for it.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Okay. Well, we can move on.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you know the area up there, I mean, it's it'll be nice once it's all.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't done anything with it.
So everybody out there is doing their own digging, doing their own utilities and stuff. So it's not unusual that his. Okay.
I think they're waiting for rural water, but they couldn't find good water.
That's what I heard, but he has never come out and said that.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, they couldn't get it. They drilled a well, and they couldn't get no water. So then, I don't know how maybe the home water that house, or maybe got enough flow for just one house rather than.
Yeah, but I don't know. Because there is a house. You're right. There is a house at the bottom there.
And why did you drill a hole first?
Yeah.
They're probably waiting for real water to get there.
Okay.
15. Okay. Harlan Ellison. He says his farm bin is 96 years old, and it does look like it could be that age. But it looks like it's been modernized and updated. There's some nice pictures of the home on there, so there's nice siding on the outside there. I think the condition that is rated from the assessor's office is correct. Again, there was no evidence provided by the homeowner there to indicate a value change, or in her, in his case there, a lower one.
So it was 172, 230, and you guys, it went up to 211.
211,
right. Adjusted the condition to what? To
I did, yeah. Adjust a barn. We had it built, yes, in 1989. We put it at 1929, which he stated. And then we changed the condition from fair to good during our rural reviews because of the siding and the windows and all that. He'd updated, so yeah. There was some adjustment, but not a whole lot. And he added a new wood deck, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sam, I am. You're up.
Okay, number 16.
16.
N Avenue.
Oh, you got it.
5 acres and an older house that's been maintained. Christy sent her crew out there this last year and has newer siding, newer roof. They changed the condition to good. 5 acres in the house at $136,580 appeared reasonable and if not low, in my opinion.
Yep. I was just going to say, that's a little chunk of land.
And the house is decent. There's a photo if you scroll down a bit, Joan. He claims that he tried to sell for $110,000 and couldn't get it. I could not find the listing.
Yeah, it was a split. He has a Morton building house split off of this. Yeah, we couldn't find it.
I dug for about 20 minutes on MLS, and I'm an expert, and I look at it every single day of my life, and I could not find the listing for $110,000 that it couldn't sell. And I think it would sell in about 5 minutes for 5 acres and $110,000 at a decent house.
Where is it at again?
N Avenue.
N's?
N,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
N.
N is in Nancy. Yep.
So down by Homer?
No, it's up Hubbard, I think. Jackson.
Hubbard, okay.
Yeah, Hubbard.
Hubbard, okay. What blue road is that? Well, that must be a mailing address.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. Mrs. Maurer, I believe is the way that name is,
yep,
pronounced there. This was a phone conversation between her and I. She indicated that her trailer had not had any changes in it in several years. Her question was, she was wondering if the property adjacent to hers, which just sold, affected hers. In researching that, that house is a stick-built house, not a trailer, and so I indicated that those two properties are not comparables. And so therefore, that was the only really argument that she had regarding the valuation of her property there. Assessor Christie recommended a no change there, and I concurred with that no change.
All right.
We're going to go to number 19 now. We're going to add one more here.
All right. Go ahead.
Number 19 is, it's a piece of farmland. It's a vacant piece of land. Mr. Gentrop owns it. It's been farmed for at least 8 years, and you can see the aerials, you can see row crop.
There was a house on this property. He sold it to somebody. They lost it on foreclosure. Tom bought it back. Scrape the house off, and now he's farming it. So I just changed it to farm because he farms right beside it. Because it was a rural residential property.
So it was being assessed as residential.
Acreage.
Yeah, so then that value is a lot higher than the farms have a special value, obviously, in Nebraska.
Compared to rural.
So we just ran soil types. I concurred with Christy on the 2645. 2645 is the value total. It's about a half an acre piece. And it's just being farmed. It's unbuildable. It's a very narrow strip as well. But anyway, it needs to be assessed like the other farms next door and such.
What was it before?
11,700.
Oh, because of the house?
Because it was an acreage.
Okay, got it.
And it went to?
Just I just changed it to farm.
Just a piece of land.
That's 19.
Yep.
Okay.
We have number 20 as well.
When did you add these? I just did this at 8 o'clock or 7:30.
Just a little bit ago.
7:30
this morning. Sammy had some.
We were working hard. That's good. That's a good thing.
Okay, the Mr. and Mrs. Ty came in to visit. They're concerned. Their concern is Mrs. Ty provided a list of assessed properties that had changed in percentage values increase over the last year. And I believe that was among the exhibits that is there, Joan. Maybe if you could scroll down there, it should have been copied.
Where is this property located?
It's
off of the Bluff Road.
Next to Grandpa's house.
Is this it, or is this the comparable?
That's theirs.
Yeah, that is theirs.
Okay.
The garage on the side.
That's on North Bluff?
Mm-hmm. Right by
South Bluff.
South Bluff.
Sorry.
I don't see
just north
of
Bill Brody's house.
Yeah,
anyway.
Okay.
So it goes from 198 to 259?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, 253. I want to raise it to 259.
Yeah. The one aspect of that is that they had added a patio in the backyard several years ago. We're not exactly sure how long ago it was there. I'm estimating they're probably 2014 or 15. The property was not being able to be reviewed by the assessor's office because there is a dog.
I see the way dog in the picture.
Yes, that's
the dog in the picture. She made that comment.
She made that very clear that it, no
you
one...
You couldn't have got on the property. We have other ways. We have EagleView and we have GIS.
Right, and so by using those other assets there, we were able to determine that patio was added on to the property there. And so Christy has added it for this year.
Because it was between 14 and 15 they added it. And it's right. 30 by 30.
Yeah.
So it's good size.
Good size.
Is it covered?
No. Just
cement. Concrete there. Their other issue was that they stated their valuation has gone up 27% in the last year.
That's all?
And I have a copy here of the properties that they looked at and gave percentages of the increases. And we looked at those percentages there, and there's a lot of different there's a lot of different aspects to a property that come into play when we're looking at valuation. And so just to use a percentage is not an accurate way of valuing property. So Ty's indicated that they thought maybe by adding a simple percentage to each value, each property there would increase or decrease the property's valuation. That's obviously not the way we can do that. There's so many factors involved in real estate that we cannot just use a straight percentage to value property there. We have to look at many, many aspects, as you know, condition, you know, location, on and on and on and on.
So 253 is where we're at.
Yes, sir.
We're at 253. I want to raise it to 259.
So for the reasonings that
the
added the patio in the backyard there, I recommended 253. And then we would pick up the patio for next year.
Next year.
Okay. Yeah, so.
I get it.
Okay.
So do you agree with Christie or the referee?
I'm going to say with the referee, I think he has a good point. And then, look, you know, the 253?
Yes, sir.
And then, 253. And then let's, yeah. Not that I disagree, but I do disagree. But.
I just figured they'd had it since 15. They didn't get a permit.
Oh, they didn't?
Nope.
But they're going from 198 to 250, over 250.
Right.
That's it.
And the valuation will be added next year with the increase due to that patio.
Because that Eagle View kind of, do we do that every year?
Or we can. We're doing change finder this fall, this spring.
This spring, okay. So it will come in.
Okay, you're going to throw another number in there on this, Sam, or are we going to go back to this?
No, we're going to 21.
21. All in the order here. This is 158 acres and a house, mostly farm land. Christie had rural part of this is part of the rural review, and the land is farmland, so it's equalized. They did pick up a new detached garage on the parcel. They changed the quality, basically made some corrections to the record. It's a 2,400 square foot house. It's an older farmhouse, but a 2,400.
Nice home.
Yeah, nice home. The value last year was $816,000. It's $926,000. I did not see a reason to change. Their reasoning was they've removed buildings, which have been picked up as well in the review, and they also added buildings. And then no other improvements were the arguments.
That's 130 some acres on top of that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the land is huge. A big fat part of that value. Yeah.
That's a nice piece of property.
Okay, number
24.
Okay,
they didn't show
did
up.
Not show up to this appointment. They wanted an appointment, did not show up. It's a house.
Homer.
This one's in Homer, one of the nicer homes.
215 to 224.
Correct.
That a no-brainer, Scott?
Oh. That's a no-brainer. Okay, this is basically what I'm trying to say. It's a no-brainer.
Okay.
No improvements. The garage is ready to fall in with her comments. I have a sale at 210 John Street at $230,000. I got 308 South 5th Street at $242,000. 305 John Street at $250,000. In Homer in the last 2 years. Homer is, I mean, there's just a lot of high sales for, I mean, a nice home. She would fit right into this group. I felt no change was.
You know, some of these will shock you, obviously. When it goes up $9,000, I don't know what it's done the previous years or whatever.
It went up a lot last year. I remember this one.
Yeah,
they put an addition on.
Yeah, they put a big addition on.
Yeah, and you just kind of wonder what you know what people's thought process is. You know,
but be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, it went stagnant for a lot of years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This one went from 57 to 59.
57 to 59. Fiddler Creek one 27.
It's a mobile home.
This one, number 27, Barclay is the owner. It's on Fiddler Creek Road. It's a mobile home. Went from 57,910 to 59,380. Okay. This is the first time ever that someone has actually given me the NADA book, which is a appraiser tool for valuing homes.
That is awesome.
She gave it. I did want to give her credit for her originality. And
props.
However, that's not how all the other mobile homes in Dakota are assessed. So that would violate equalization really badly. Plus, again, we have multiple sales. To buy this property. No change. Was the recommendation at 59,380.
Okay. Okay, Frank, number 28, that's you.
That is me. Mrs. Harrington, she stated that her home is 110 years old and needs lots of work. And she went into some detail as to the condition of her property there. For example, she has siding that is two different colors. on the outside. I didn't have a picture of that, but that was her statement. Roof is 20 years old. She also indicated that the assessor's record has 5 bedrooms, and she stated that she has only 3 bedrooms. That's not a significant valuation indicator.
They don't calculate.
We don't calculate bedrooms on in the assessor side of it there. The condition appears to be something that was reviewed.
That's when the change came in at the 119 to 106?
Right. So okay. That's where we...
We did lower it?
Yeah. Christy recommended lower because of the... And changed the condition rating. And
yep.
We came to...
106.
So it still went up 50 grand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's this at? This is on...
192nd Street.
192nd.
On the north side of the road, just out of Hubbard, first place on the left.
It's out of Hubbard on the north side of the road. You know, when people say, I mean, I don't know what.
Is this the only gal?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. How do we get them connected with resources to help them improve their house if they're low income or whatever? Is there a way to do that? I mean, that's not this meeting, but.
No.
Yeah.
There is a.
I mean, when they have big issues like that we can maybe connect them to resources. But
that's where we need our economic.
Yeah, right.
Sam, did you talk to Orr, did you? Rob Orr?
I
love that guy.
Only the, he only mailed it in. So he did not come in. It's one
Most
acre.
Of Jody.
Jody, the Hillbillies. From Nebraska.
They're nice.
I have not
great
met
great people.
She's always very pleasant when she comes in.
Yeah.
He just stands in the back.
Yeah, a little over. So I went from 170 to 176, and you guys...
Lowered it. We did have an extra building on there for some reason.
Okay.
So we did get rid of that. I don't know where
So
it
actually, they went down, so they should be happy.
This
right?
one, I agreed with Christy on this one. There was an extra building that was removed, so not assessed anymore, and then we did change one of the buildings from one classification to another. The recommendation is 169,335, which is the same as Christy's copy.
Good. Who has 35?
30. I believe that's me, yes. Okay. Mail only again. South Bluff Road. Looks like, had some old outbuildings, hog barns, and some in kind of poor condition. There's a two-story house on there. It is 26 acres, 26 and a half acres. The assessed value went from, is that 214 to 267. There was a few minor changes made to the buildings. The assessor's recommendation was 264,735. I concurred with that.
264,735.
Does it matter what school district they're in? I just was curious if that played
any
role.
Okay.
Yeah, only on the levy side. Once it
goes to the levy, then the school district comes into play.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, Frank, 37.
Okay, 37 is May.
Where's this house at?
Jackson.
So you've already sat down and had all these conversations with all these people mm-hmm. already, so they know where we're.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Both Mr. and Mrs. Neighbor were on the telephone conversation with me. Their whole argument is that the home flooded in 2019, and they are comparing it to the flood.
Nope, you're on the wrong one. That's 43.
Oh,
this is 37.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. This is that one.
Oh, okay.
He came in.
I say Jackson flooded in the hills over there.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
<pardon. laughs>
Okay, yes. He says the land value is too high, and the house is also too high there. He gave adjacent property as for his comparables there. And reviewing the lands that he provided, as far as there is a variety of different sizes of acreages, and for example, one of the properties adjacent to him is 70 acres. His is only 38 acres, so that really wasn't comparable.
What's the house look like, John?
He wasn't griping too much about the house. It was more the land. So I changed. He had some ground that we had it as dry, and it's definitely his yard and had trees in it. So I didn't change the soil necessarily, just that it went to grass and trees.
So he had this shed plus, or
that
plus
house and that
house
shed.
And the
yep.
shed.
Right.
And there should be an aerial photo.
And
maybe not.
And
38 acres.
Yeah, I changed some of it to grass and trees because it can't be farmed. And I don't know why, if they had it as dry ground, because it was by farm ground, or what the deal was. So I left the soil type the same, just changed it to grass and tree cover.
Okay. And yeah, it's really is right at the top of the bluff. So there, it's
yeah.
Right.
Okay. He's surrounded by farm.
Correct.
Yeah.
With that change, I agree with Christie's change in value there to go to 382,905.
All right. Who's got 39?
How long? So basically, in 1 year, it went up $100,000.
He had some building. He added buildings, I think. Wasn't that
what
he had?
I
think he had a permit.
That seems like a
big. Or he had some buildings we added when we did, during the rural review.
Okay, so there was a building. That,
I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, that's a big jump, otherwise. So there's a building that wasn't in the build in it before?
That, or he had some finish in a building.
Oh, that's
the one. He has like an apartment in it.
Oh, okay. So that building, that Quonset building, is actually new.
Yeah, it's got some kind of apartment.
Okay.
39 is Boyle M Avenue, 10 acres. It's a that's a ranch style house with 10 acres. They mailed in just regular maintenance is what they said. They're getting taxed out of their homes.
They're on Social Security.
SOS?
They're on Social Security, and they can't afford to pay the taxes. Christy reviewed this record, and she made a recommendation to lower. She made a few changes of the condition and of a building. The assessed value was set at 183. There's a lot there, right? It's not in the greatest shape, but it's not too bad.
It's not horrible, but it's okay. I think the guys, when they reviewed it, had a little high.
It was considered good condition when the reviewers went out there. Mm-hmm. After the photos, it kind of looked a little more average. That brings the value down to 179,200. I concurred with the assessor.
Okay.
Are they, so I would think that they would be eligible for some, if they're being taxed out of their home, homestead review. I mean, can they?
They can come in and apply.
Okay. Are they aware of that? I wonder.
We put it in the paper. We don't have a list of anybody over 65, so. It does go in the paper, though.
What do you mean, in the paper?
Advertised.
Oh, in the, oh, I thought you meant in the paper that you send to them.
No, no, in the newspaper.
In the newspaper.
Yep.
Number 40. This is it tie again?
Yeah, it's
okay.
The dad.
Oh, the dad, right. Yeah. South Bluff Road. No buildings on the parcel. It's
may have been at one time, but they hold.
Right, it's vacant land. It is.
So it didn't change.
This we took the buildings off.
We just took the buildings off. It's just land value, and it's dry. It's dry land. It's assessed as every other piece of dry land in the county. The recommendation is $163,770. We concur with the assessor.
Okay. How many acres is it?
Well, 34.
So it had no change then?
No, it changed.
It did change.
The buildings came off.
Okay.
They weren't valued at a whole lot.
But previous value says 163.77, current value 163.
Yeah, because permanent didn't change. Okay. Most of it didn't change.
And then it went to 167.
Yeah, with the buildings.
Okay.
And then
we took it back
down
off.
To 163.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Are you Carter's? Are you on 41?
Harris, 42?
41.
There's a 41?
Is Carter.
43.
Okay, I've got 42.
What about
42.
42.
So what about 41?
There's
41.
There's
no 41, yes.
Did somebody say 41, though?
Yeah.
I heard it.
I just want to make sure I'm not losing my marbles yet. Tip of the day.
It's only Monday.
I know.
Roger and Patricia Harris. This is Homer again. Ranch house in town. The assessed value is $94,395. Their main complaint again was the no changes, so there should be no increase in value. I've got about 10 sales. This would sell in a half an hour at $94,000.
Oh, easy. It's a good sized house.
No change was the recommendation.
Okay. Is it Homer?
Yep.
It's right along the creek.
Okay.
Take a left with Lawrence's insurance agency and then go down a couple blocks.
Oh, okay. Is it in the floodplain?
43.
Don't yes, well, they don't have
a floodplain. Don't have a floodplain.
Are we at
43?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Mr. and Mrs. Carter, this was a phone conversation I had with them. Their whole issue is that their house flooded in 2019, and they wanted to compare that to the same property being flooded in 2011. Apparently in 2011, they stated that the values went down that next valuation year, and so they wanted to have a similar situation for the flooding of 2019. I asked the question there, what happened in 2011 as far as damage? They say they did not own the property in 2011, so they could not answer that question. I asked them what the damage was in 2019. They indicated that they had to replace the deck. There was some electrical issues, and they had to repair the a propane tank out there and the basement. The basement has flooded several times, had flooded several times during that 2019 period. The whole issue, from what I can tell, is that they're still arguing valuation from a 2019 flood, whereas we're in the 2021 tax year, and so the property did not flood in 2021, it flooded in 2019. So their argument, in my opinion, is not a valid one for changing the value of their property in 2021 when the flood occurred in 2019.
This is Dave Cool's old house.
I was gonna say, that just sold.
Yeah, they bought it.
Right.
And they keep putting additions on, but they wanna come in. This is a Turk case, by the way, too.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But it did go down.
When Dave built that, though, he had the basement empty so water would run through.
Because that's the point of the doors.
Right.
They finished it.
Yeah, right, and they finished it, and then they claimed that they had to tear it out two or three times because it flooded.
And Sam tried to get them to fill out the destroyed property form. They would not do it. They refused.
How many acres went with that?
I think it's 5.
But this went down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually went down this year, and they're still complaining. Just because it's over 20 years old now.
Didn't Dave
so it's starting to go down a little bit.
Too, right?
6.8 acres.
I think so.
And they put a huge covered patio on this. And then we also have a question, too, whether or not one of their additions isn't a, they have it as a porch, and I don't think it's a porch. I think it's living. So we need to contact them about that, too.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
But they've been putting additions on it, so.
Interesting. They went, it went down, though, and they protested it when it went down.
Who's 44?
44 is Arlen.
Leinert.
Leinert. 4 acres, a house, Old Sawmill Road.
Right next to Sally Books.
It's a.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, 4 acres right there. Valuation for 2021, $298,835. The main argument here was a big spreadsheet of assessed values versus like other houses and how much they've gone up or down. Again, you know, last year's valuation is not relevant in Nebraska law. There's the spreadsheet. Just a percentage of how much they went up or down.
So you got Book's house, and then you got hers, and then you have.
And he's unplatted. Yeah. He's not even in Tompkins subdivision. They're all platted subdivisions. He's not.
Again, this house would sell in a half an hour at.
It's got a huge Morton building behind it. Not
yeah,
huge,
I know exactly.
But a decent Morton building.
There's a lot of land there.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to live there, but.
Almost 3.7 acres and the building.
Yeah. Right up against the bypass and the Hammond Pass and that one.
But so the percentage increase that he had was 20%, so that maybe.
In his calculation, yes, yes.
I like Sam's theory. House to sell for $300,000 in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
and that would be a great, it's a nice house in a great spot. It's valuable. But no change was the recommendation.
Okay. Frank, you got a bid at Joe, it looks like 46.
I do.
Oh, we got 45. Sorry, we had 45.
Oh, why?
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Smuggled one in. Barbecue.
What Gil?
Robbie. Rob.
Okay, phone interview. Mr. Gil bought a little piece of land 2 years ago. It's 0.2 acres. It's got an old carport and a couple of old sheds that are in poor condition. He purchased this property for $29,000 in 2018. The assessed value is $11,885. His main concern was the improvements were overvalued, which both Christy and I had agreed they were. However, we also felt that the land was undervalued. Just a methodology,
yeah,
basically.
Got it on the wrong method.
So is it staying at 11,885?
That's the new value.
No, we felt to equalize him.
We had to raise his land, but lower his buildings.
We took off his improvements. If you take a look at the pictures, they're pretty rough. He says he's going to scrape them and build a house, which would be nice. But it's, the value, even with the price of wood, I'm not sure that's worth a lot.
Where is this at?
This is Dove Trail.
I was going to say Dove Trail.
Yep.
So he bought it for 11?
He bought it for 29.
29. Oh, 29? Holy back
in 2018.
Mm-hmm. In 2018.
Yeah.
And it's significantly lower. And that's
mm-hmm. We got a value at 10, 14.
That's equalization.
That's equalization. Yeah. Okay.
He did raise his ground, but took the down.
And he's protesting it.
45, now we got a 46.
Okay, 46, Mr.
He came in to protest the value of his buildings and his land outrage.
That's what happened. But he paid 29 for it.
I almost recommended a raise to 29, but then he'd be unequal. Like, we'd lose a turf.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
He'd beat us at turf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would, we'd hear but lose there, so it's not worth the effort.
Yep.
So you got the Jack Vitato.
Okay. He's on 34 acres. He has a very old trailer and a utility building. He is claiming that the trailer has never been lived in many, many years.
Just behind the landfill?
I'm
not sure. I think so.
That one is.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Behind the landfill or kind of
in Jackson?
Yeah.
South of the address? Oh, he has it's his P.O. box, maybe.
We couldn't get into it. The guys couldn't review it because there's a locked gate. We don't cross gate. But we did have some older pictures of it.
Raccoons.
34 acres?
Yeah. 34 acres.
And then it's all timber.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's a picture at the lot today.
Yeah, you can get into it.
So went from 23 to 24.
Yeah, we adjusted the mobile home.
Right, we changed the condition of the mobile home to, I think it was fair.
Yeah.
And then I think we also changed the condition of the outbuilding to a 100% dirt floor. He said that if there is approximately a quarter of it is concrete there, but we're cutting too fine of a line there, so I think we changed that to.
And there's no power or water to that trailer, so we put a functional on it.
Yes.
We shouldn't even be talking about this right now.
No, the land, I mean.
It's only land.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Land is the value.
Yeah, the land is the issue.
The truth of the value. Major.
Minimum.
Yeah.
How many acres is that?
34.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What is timber? Timberland is.
It's lower than regular farm ground, but yeah. It's still farm.
It's desirable for houses.
It all depends on whose eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Desirable for homes.
Yeah, the loaded gun is worth a lot of money.
Yep.
Property with trees.
A lot of farmers can't buy it because the hunters coming in there paying $3,000-$4,000 an acre. Big parcels. I mean, like 400-acre land.
Crazy, huh?
And then Nebraska reduces it 75% as well. Mm-hmm. So the assessed value is actually the median value minus 25% for farms. So that's why it looks apparently lower.
We should do that to my farm.
Okay, so when you're
53, 11 acres of walkout ranch.
Right on here.
O Avenue.
Oh yeah. Next time.
Should be.
Main concern here is the bad roads with O Avenue. So again, I usually would recommend to people to come to a road meeting, but we'll talk to the road super.
Don't ever do that, all right?
Don't do that, okay? I will not do that anymore.
Give him a phone
just
number.
Just call.
Sure. A lot of old information. 2016 letter to the state of Nebraska on nitrates in the water. Again, the house appears like it's lived
in.
There might be an issue here, but I just don't know it. It seemed like it was being lived in and okay. There's other houses on O Avenue and such. The condition was changed from good to average by the assessor.
That's the reason for the adjustment from 301 to 284.
And then there was a change on one of the buildings from a shed to a utility building to a shed.
To a yard shed, another way.
284-770 is the recommendation.
Okay,
like it.
Number 57, Lynn Harris. A mobile home. It is 1.2 acres. And is it in home or just outside?
It's outside of home.
Outside of home.
Yeah.
Okay. Mobile home, yeah, 1.2 acres.
It's a double wide.
Went from 40,000 to 55,000.
Single wide, made to a double wide.
Yeah, he's put additions, he's sided it, he's put new windows on it.
It was reviewed last year by the assessor's office.
Sell in 30 minutes?
Foundation for garage is all there.
2020 picture.
Oh.
In 30 minutes? Yeah, I do. I really do.
I do too.
Really do.
I do too.
I mean, I have to sell. We have. Troy would buy it, I think. he would buy it, yes, see, okay.
It's in decent shape. I mean, they keep it up nice.
Okay,
so
no change.
Okay, so I got a dumb question here. Well, it's not even dumb. 58 through 68.
This is Stewart. Yep.
Can we just do all these at one time, or do we got to go over each one of them?
You have to go over each one of them. At least I have to pull it up so you review it.
So it looks like a bunch of different lots. Is that what this is?
Yeah, it's a subdivision.
It's the same subdivision we were speaking of earlier with those lots. It might or might not have water.
Oh.
Stewart subdivision.
So he protested one early on, then he came in and protested all of them.
So resident number 59.
58 through 68.
And the reason?
so no water, no electricity.
Here's number six.
Property is undeveloped and has no electricity, no water.
I'm going through them. That's all it says.
The comparable we're using is his own sale of the other parcel at $50,000.
Same size?
No, his is big. No, his is big.
It's, these are smaller, but they're assessed by square foot, so they're accounted for.
So they're, yeah.
That's where you come up with your value from prior to what his sale was.
Yeah.
Right.
And they did go up based on what subdivisions are selling for.
There's no pictures, there's.
Yeah, there even a map?
I'm not sure, is there a map that's, should I look?
I don't think we put anything with these, but GIS would have it.
I'm just gonna look it up on GIS so that everybody can see where we're at and that.
So was he one of the ones on the backside over here too? Or no, he wasn't on the backside, or on the other side of this paper, he just did a sale.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
What are they selling the lots for?
He's only sold one.
Can't sell them with no water.
Can't sell them. What are they listing them for?
I don't know.
They're, I don't see them as listed, and not on MLS anyhow. But, so there's the subdivision. So it's all, marked out. It's all divided up.
They just need some water.
I'm not sure if they cannot get water is different than don't have water, I guess, is the, my concern.
They drill, but they.
Oh, in Emerson. Near Emerson.
Get a sufficient amount of water.
No, so would that make a difference?
This is the Ponca one out there, right on the county line.
Oh, his mailing address.
We don't
Emerson
know.
Got
we
it.
Don't know if they can.
Yeah, it's the same as what we just went across on the one with that.
They had lots for sale, but then when they realized they couldn't get water, they just give it up. I mean, they just put it on hold, hoping they could maybe come up with maybe water from Ponca or rural water line or something. And that's what's at. I don't know.
It's a nice idea, but they didn't try to do enough research.
They didn't do enough research.
No, they should have drilled a hole beforehand and found out what the problem was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, yeah, if he brought in evidence of, hey, I drilled 10 holes and I don't have any water. That's different than we don't have water and.
Don't have electricity.
Right. I don't really know. And this one, I mean, I just am going, he did not give us enough information, so we recommended insufficient
evidence.
Data, yeah. I don't know.
He should have brought a letter from the well company, the electric company.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if he brings
or
that, now this is a whole different conversation.
Yeah. Yep, I get you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Turn it back to farmland or something. Yeah,
sure, hay it. There's hay all around it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But he's got it plotted at this point. And
59 is the same exact issue. It's a lot adjacent.
Yeah.
60, 61, 62. We recommend an insufficient data on all of them. Again, if we have more, if someone knows him and could bring in the data, and not even a shared well would be good for that parcel and would make it viable. But at this point, that's all the data we have.
Okay. Go right down to the old Prez. Number 77.
Right, Dixon Path.
Beautiful home.
This one, the main concern was they increased the value $80,000.
How big is that building on the property? I think it's massive.
It is massive. That building is 3,024 square feet.
42 by 72.
Wow. Did they just put it up?
No. It's been. It's been.
It hasn't been valued.
They just purchased this in.
Oh, they just okay.
2019 for $422,500.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Her assessment went up not because she was assessed higher. Her assessment went up because she
paid for that.
She told the assessor what
she
the market.
She set the market. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually raised her own value, which is typically what happens on a sale. Is Christy has to go out and review it and then take the sale number versus all the things that are there and see what that's worth. And then this house will set the values for basically everything.
Was that Tammy Baelish?
Yep.
That's a beautiful home. The building is even sexier than the house.
We added an OSP. That's why it went up a little bit, too.
What's OSP mean?
Open slab porch.
I don't think you see this building. You don't have a picture of that building, or would that be up at the top?
I don't know if I have one here.
We should.
Right here.
I don't.
Man, it's
big dark building.
It's huge.
Okay.
They purchased it for $429.
And she bought it for $422.
$422.5.
$422.
2 years ago.
Yep.
We recommend a no change. It's, she set the market.
Okay.
Hey, and you know what? I believe in 1 hour the house will sell.
Didn't take long.
And is this last?
This is it.
Number 79 for today, last one. Lynn Miller, Ryan Miller Road, Homer, at the, I think it's at the top of the hill.
Yeah, at the top of the hill.
40 acres. Poor ground. She wrote a letter. He wrote a letter.
40 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Two-story house with the 40 acres as well. Basically, the letter describes how his house would be unmarketable to the market for various reasons. Again, this is timberland. I'm sure hunters would love it.
It's a story and a half. It's got some like outbuildings on it. It's a nice house. He claims it's just a crap hole, you know.
Assessed at $205,990.
Earl Miller's brother.
Yeah, right.
This sells.
No, this isn't Earl's brother.
15?
Lynn?
It's a different family.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
oh. Well, he's not very nice, I'll tell you that.
That's another
came
family.
In and called us unaccommodating and everything else.
Way up the top of the hill. You're going to go through that gravel road.
That's your recommendation, huh?
No, I said no change.
No change.
Yeah, we had the guys go out and review it.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty nice house, actually, and a pretty location.
I'm just asking, Mom. It's a pretty location.
Up there on the hill. I've never been in his house, but it is pretty from afar.
Is that it?
My only question is back to that boil. I guess that I'm somewhat familiar with that property, and I yeah.
Which one is that, Joe?
Number 39. And maybe it would go for that. I don't know, but it just is. I wonder how many square feet it is. I don't know.
38.
That one?
That mean?
Yep.
Let's see. Okay. 10 acres is the property.
Oh, 10 acres, okay.
That's on M.
It's right on a corner.
There's 25
Avenue, right in a corner.
The house,
right close to the road.
1,542 square feet.
1,500? Okay.
Yep.
Partial basement, unfinished, detached garage, and then the building that is 28 by 26.
Got some additions on the back.
Mm-hmm. Sketch of what
the. Did you get inside at all?
No.
No.
We don't go inside.
Unless there's
issues.
This is the one that they called it good. The
rural review guys called it a good. We said,
We lowered it.
We lowered it to average.
Okay. Yeah, I would say, it's not.
It's okay.
They are really tight with money, but so I should basically recommend to them to do try to get that homestead exemption. So,
by what? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
By Wednesday.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, file.
And it's based on income and stuff,
income
right?
Income and the value of the house, yep.
Because I do know they're very strapped. And
the max value can be what?
They haven't set it yet. I think last year was 120 something.
120 on value?
Mm-hmm.
So this is too high valued already.
It still can be a little over. Because they only get the house in 1 acre and there's outbuildings, so I subtract the outbuildings off. So they might owe some, but.
Okay.
That would help.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
By when? By Wednesday?
Wednesday.
did they come in?
I don't think so.
That was a mail. They mailed it.
They mailed it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's everything. 2 weeks. We're going to meet again to do more of this.
Sooner the better.
Do you think we're going to need more time and dates? We're up to about 100, and I'm guessing we're going to double that in this last week.
Wow. In the next?
I guess.
Mm-hmm. This is how many did we do today? Yep. Maybe 40?
But we had the one that was a whole bunch of the same ones. It was kind of the same, so that made it a little quicker.
maybe we'll take a look after this.
After Wednesday.
33.
I have it on the agenda today to discuss if you wanted to set one more date. We could always set a date and then not meet. We did that last year. We ended up finishing before we used up all our days. But if you had a date you could give us that would maybe work.
The current.
If you guys want to do another Monday, like the 19th or something.
Is that meeting day?
No.
No.
Can you both be here?
You'll be.
I cannot.
You'll be gone.
Yeah, I will be.
Make sure you have your stuff done.
I will, yeah, I'll have my stuff done and give it to Sam.
Now, I can tell you, make sure your stuff's done.
Turnabout.
Okay, so we just need to make a motion to, under the recommendation.
I am out of town the 19th, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is there anything that week?
The 20th, which would be the Tuesday, or is there a meeting on Wednesday already?
Meetings are Mondays.
But that's okay, it doesn't have to be.
You can do any day you want.
If we could just.
Pick a date.
Pick a date that you're available and maybe set that, and then if we don't need it, we don't need it.
Let's set that for the 20th, and if that's okay with everyone, and then we are shooting for, you know, to be done the 12th, though. That's, we hope to have everything to you for the 12th, as far as the residential information goes. That's our.
Okay, so you're not, and on the 26th, Daryl's coming in.
He might even be here tomorrow.
Okay.
So you're going to have everything to us, let me get this right, on July 12th?
Yes, sir.
That's what they're shooting for.
Okay, then July 20th, we're going to meet.
Possibly, we just need another date.
Okay, I understand. I get it.
We don't.
Okay.
I can advertise it.
We don't have the 26th down also as a date?
Yes, we do, because that's when Daryl Stannard is the other referee that's looking at commercial, so.
So I got a question on how we proceed today then. So if we have a motion, because the only one I have a question on, I'm going to vote with Christie on, is that one with the Thai one?
Yeah.
That had the, whatever they.
Open flat porch.
They added a porch. So I don't know how we vote, you know, if it's.
We can take that one out and vote on all the others and then show that Bob dissented on that.
Okay. That answers that.
Anybody else have any other agree or disagrees?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I need a motion.
Bob just made it.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve all things as we reviewed, except number 20.
Good.
Yep.
I'll second it.
And that you approved, you accept the referee recommendation?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, Scott seconded, accept referee recommendation. Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. Now make a motion on number 20?
You want to make a motion on 20 that?
Why don't you make it, and I'll just say no.
Okay.
If somebody can make it, then I'll just say no.
Well, it depends on what the motion is, Bob.
Right.
Well, okay.
You make the motion, let's see how it goes.
So I'll.
To take the assessor's recommendation.
Okay, so I'll make a motion on 20 then to accept the assessor's value or opinion, whichever we need.
Instead of the referees.
Yeah, her 259, her 253. Anyone? No one?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So no second? Okay, so somebody make a motion to.
I'll make that motion, John, for the number 20 to stay the recommendation.
What number was that one again? Oh, it's on the back, that's right, 20 on the back.
Do we have a second on that?
I'll make a second on that.
I hope so, in trouble, yes.
Robert?
No.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
So then we need to recess until?
Recess until?
3:30.
3:30, or after the?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everyone, thanks, Sam, thanks, Frank, thanks, Christie.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just, now it'd be really gray, so. Some of the bypass.
Nothing wrong with that.
Distinguished.
Listen, Bob, nothing wrong with that.
Distinguished look.
I heard a good one, somebody said something about gray and blah, 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 and somebody said, just leave them all in my head, getting it.
Okay.
Is it recording?
You know?
Yeah.
On the bright side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This is 3 o'clock, here.
I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll start with our pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Janet Gill?
Here.
Scott Love?
Yes.
Robert Gacey?
Here.
Larry Albonicious? Troy Lonsby?
Here.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Our first item on the agenda today is public comment, item number one. And at this point, the Board of Commissioners will hear comments on any item that's not on the agenda. So if anybody is here to visit with us about anything on public comment, not on agenda. All right, we'll move on to item number two, which is our consent agenda. On our consent agenda, we have the previous meeting minutes. We have the approval of payroll claims. They all seem to be in order. We are missing maybe missing a little bit of paperwork regarding some sick leave, but I think we'll be able to get that nailed down a little bit. Approval, we didn't have any accounts payable today. That was last meeting. And approval of a late collection. We were able to recover a check through the treasurer's office that had been previously written off. So I will make a motion to accept or to approve the items on the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Items A through D, okay, thanks, Scott. How about a second for that? Oh, I made a motion, you seconded it. Da-da-da. All right, Janet made the motion, Scott seconded. Any discussion or questions about the consent agenda items? Comments?
Scott?
Give it a roll.
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry? Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Our new business, item number A, is Rodney Reisdorf. Is Rodney here?
Yeah.
Okay, could you come forward and explain your request regarding Stable Drive, please?
So yeah, basically, we put on the car show scene of the crash. It's at the Dakota Thurston County Fairgrounds. So with having the whole property, the road splits it, so just asking permission to block that road off, like the same as they do. And it would be July 16th, probably like 8 a.m. to Saturday at like midnight.
What is scene of the crash? Is it a car show?
Yeah, it's a car show, but it's more than a car show. It's kind of like an event. So we have like live music, mini bike races. We have vendors like inside the building. There's like dirt drags out there. They're just like for the hot rods and stuff. No like race cars, but pinup contests, stuff like that. But type of show that we put on, there's not a lot of them, so people travel a long ways to go to them. So like I usually go to Dubuque to go to a show just like ours, so people travel.
Did you do this last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is our 7th year, but it'll be the second year here.
At this location?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think we're gonna stay here because it works good and plenty of room to grow, so.
And you had people there to kind of monitor the activity and the traffic and things like that?
Yeah.
Any other questions for
Rodney? I've never heard of this before.
Rodney?
I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
The 16th on Friday.
Yeah, yep. Yes, it's a 2-day, so you start, it starts Friday. Technically, it starts at noon on Friday, and then
it goes all. Do you need county barricades, or do you have those?
We'll need the county ones, the same as whatever
the fair does.
Yeah. I think last year they brought them out, and then they just left them out there until they needed them again, because they needed them 2 weeks.
Oh, I see. So.
And there's no residents that are blocked when this is happening?
No, I think they can go around the other way.
Okay.
So it's the same setup as last year?
Same setup, yeah.
And when it was closed last year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Same thing the fair does.
Yeah.
I just was looking at your shirt. That must be last year's shirt.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can make a motion to set up the let's see, to have Stable Drive closed down for the event on July 16th, 17th.
I'll second.
So the 16th at noon is when it starts.
Yeah, but we'll be setting up like 8 a.m. Friday, so.
Okay.
Any other questions for Rodney? Okay. Should we do a roll call?
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Good luck, Rodney.
Have fun.
Yeah,
hope the weather's good for
you. There's some flyers on there.
Oh, that'd be great. I thought maybe it was maybe one of those things where they do rescue maneuvers. So I'm glad he told us what it's all about.
You need one?
That one. Okay. Item number B. No, you can have it if you want it. That sounds like a fun thing. Item number B. Approve resolution 21C to appropriate the transfer of funds for overexpended budget of the Veterans Service Office. That item is in our packet, and it was a very minimal amount.
$100?
Yep. So I'll make a motion that we cover that $100 for the Veterans Fund, which is Resolution 21C-020.
Second.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay. Item number C on our new business agenda is a resolution 21C-021, which is the adoption of the 2021 Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan Update. Is anybody here to speak to that? I'm not really familiar with this plan. Does somebody review it, or does it?
It's had extensive review.
Oh, it's had, okay.
It's his annual.
Yeah, it's
week. Okay, so it's just a standard thing that they update every year for us?
That's right.
I'll make a motion. I move to approve.
Okay, there's it. Okay.
I'll second 21C-021.
And there is a website if anybody wants to go out and look at the Papio mitigation. So
and the plan.
And the plan.
Yep.
So
okay.
I'm sure it's been vetted.
Troy?
Any other questions? I mean, if you want the website and want to look at it closer, feel free. Otherwise, we'll go through and do the roll call, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Item number D, Jolene is here. Item number D and E are somewhat related. So Jolene, you want to come forward and give us the information on the Lynch Avenue?
So a couple years ago, we closed the portion of Lynch from Moody Road south, probably 4,500 feet or something like that. Now Ed Murray is requesting that we close it an additional 1,000 feet to get to Mary Davidson's property line.
So go from the existing to the north to the south 1,000 feet.
Correct. Uh-huh. The Mary Davidson has the property, and Ed Mari kind of helps take care of it. And she asked him to just go ahead and close the rest of it. I was back there. There's no reason for anybody to be back there other than the landowners. And this closure will not landlock anybody. Petersons can still, will be able to access from the north, which they own the northern part that's already been closed. And then if we close it to Mary Davidson's property line, Mary will be able to access hers, and Ed Mari and the rest of the property owners theirs. But I don't know if you guys have driven back there and looked at it.
Oh,
but
I
did. Uh-huh. It's just basically a road to nowhere, so.
And we didn't, I thought we already, so we already closed it, or we?
We closed a portion of it.
Oh, portion of it. Okay, uh-huh. That's where I didn't.
Yeah, from Moody, from north to the south. I totally get it. And this is what we're going to be talking about next, obviously, to mm-hmm. get a public hearing mm-hmm. that we talked about a few weeks back, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And same thing.
Yeah, Ed filed a petition to close it and got the landowner signatures, and
So everybody can get to what their property when this closes.
Yeah, nobody can be landlocked. Okay. Yeah, and like I said, really there's no reason for anybody to go back there other than the landowner. So
will you just barricade it there, or will they farm, will each landowner on each side take it over?
There's a fence now. There's pasture ground. Mm-hmm. They're just going to move that fence line back. We'll put signs up, county maintenance, road closed, stuff like that. So they'll still be able to access their property, but just to show that the county is not liable for anything past that fence.
Past that house on the hill, is that the one?
It's further than the house.
But is that downhill?
Yeah. You'll go down the hill and then down to the bottom. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Approved resolution. That's item D, and then item E will relate to that same property. Resolution 21C-022. We need to set a public hearing date, and that is in our packet. I think the recommended date is July 28th at 3:01. That's our regular
26.
Meeting, isn't it?
Let's change that to 26. Sorry. That's a typo.
26?
26. Got it mixed up with June.
And Lynch Avenue has just been over the years, it's just for the kids to go out in a four-wheel. That's all it is.
And that's the reason why we closed the north part of
it.
People were dumping garbage out there, tearing it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just waiting for a rain so the kids can go out there and tear it up and get stuck. And yeah.
Okay, so that's 2 weeks from... No, that's more than 2 weeks. That's
June 26th.
Yeah, that's about a month out.
Yes.
Okay, so plenty of time.
I have to have 3 weeks. It has to be advertised for 3 weeks, and then I have to contact all the surrounding landowners.
Oh, okay.
So I will do that.
Plenty of time.
3 weeks is July 26th. So I'll approve the resolution 21C-022 to set the time and the date, which is July 26th at 3:01, for a public hearing to vacate and abandon the public road at Lynch Avenue, portion of Jackson.
Okay,
that's
thank you, Scott. That's the motion.
I'll second.
Bob, second.
Thanks, Julie.
Any other questions? All right. Roll call on that.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right. Item number F, and I think we have this in our packet as well, is Andrew Forney here? No? Oh, Sheriff. Okay.
He was unable to make it, but he is available by phone call if you need him.
All right, Sheriff, you probably know the details relating to this.
Our lease purchases for vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's built in the budget. I put it in the budget for this year, so.
Okay.
You take delivery on 7/14, roughly?
Actually, we don't know. We do have one vehicle that's here, which is amazing because nobody's getting vehicles right now.
Yeah.
But the other two, we don't know when we're going to get them. So if we don't do it now, we wait, and it's probably next year at this time. Well, these vehicles are like 5 and 6 years old that we're trading off, and they're actually giving us about $50,000 for trading. So
You couldn't ask for a better timing right now to get rid of vehicles, and if you can get them.
Mm-hmm. So what happens if we don't get the, I mean, does this just get delayed if we don't get the vehicles? I mean, does the lease start immediately, or how does that work?
Quite honestly, we already told them and ordered them.
Uh-huh, okay.
So
the payment goes on?
Well, I don't, that's up to Fortenberry and Joan. I don't know when the payment starts coming out. I don't think it comes out till...
And they don't take our other ones until we get our new ones?
No.
So we're not short vehicles?
No, we're not short vehicles.
It says first coupon of $215.21.
$12.15.
Or $12, that's what I meant, $12.15.
So it'll be...
Quarterly.
Yep.
Yeah, it's quarterly payment.
So what brand are they?
GMs, state bid GMs.
The diesels?
Do you wanna look at them?
No, we couldn't get those either.
You wanna look at them?
We wanna see how these work.
I didn't.
Did you?
Which one?
I thought you were gonna pass it on.
Yeah, these aren't police vehicles, they're just regular fleet trucks. These vehicles are way more expensive, and we don't get those usually. We got one Durango that's a police vehicle. But that's cost us money. We spent over $30,000 this year just fixing vehicles. And it's the old ones. Their warranty goes up, that ends up costing us. So.
See, GM might want to get them several. I got a bunch in here just the past week.
So we have to go through state bid process. We can't just go to a dealer and buy a vehicle. Law requires us to go through Nebraska state bid.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know they must be getting a chip. But they weren't just building them for people that ordered them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about that. I just know that these probably, the other two vehicles probably won't be here till the first of the year is what they're telling us at Husker right now. One Tahoe is there, but the other ones might not be till the first.
So they're 2022 then?
No, they'll still be 2021. I know.
So this is for three vehicles, and one's here and two are coming?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions for Sheriff?
And all the other stuff that goes on them?
Yep, that's all included.
Okay.
Except for a new radio. We don't buy new radios. We just swap them over.
Do we need to do anything special for related to the amount or anything, or just a regular motion? Or with DA, with whoever, Andrew Forney, I mean the rate or anything like that?
What is it, 1.25?
Yeah, I think it was pretty low.
1.25.
Yeah. He usually kind of explains that, but that looks like a good rate, probably.
So, I guess I can make a motion for 21C-023, approving, adopting the lease purchase agreement through NACLA Leasing for Sheriff's law enforcement vehicles.
Okay, Scott, motion.
A second.
Bob, second. Any other questions? All right, we'll do a roll call on that lease purchase agreement acceptance.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Jen?
Yes.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you. Did you got the heat on in here?
Yep. It's cold outside today. Chilly.
Okay.
Come more often, you could use it. See you later. Have a good day.
We need to come over to the jail for a visit. See how hot it is over there. Okay. Item number G on the new business. Approval of our Mid-American, or we got our Mid-American Benefits Plan documents, which include the administrative service agreement for the self-funded portion, a COBRA service agreement, which is COBRA extensions, and a service agreement between Dakota County and Hines and Associate, who is the case management review service. And this is all part of that new one that we just started. We're still cleaning up documents.
We're still cleaning up. We finally got our summary of benefits. I sent those out to everybody.
And did you have a chance to look at those, Kim?
I have not. I think it's just approval of the documents.
I kind of scanned through them, but I mean, I didn't read them word for word, but I did look through them. I'll make a note motion that we go ahead and approve the signing the documents for those particular services, the administrative services, case review services, and COBRA extensions.
Scott, a second.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Right, we are to miscellaneous and old business. Joanne, it looks like you're up again with both item A and B. The highway superintendent report is first, the road report, I guess. And that's in your our packets. I think we got a sheet today for that.
The guys have 295 hours of maintaining roads, 3 hours of overtime, 37.5 hours of debris removal, or tree removal. They spent 27.5 hours on Blyberg Road and 21 hours on Perry Avenue working on a culvert, 7 hours picking up garbage, 82 hours hauling gravel, 1,374.22 tons of three-quarter clean was hauled, and 14.33 tons of railroad ballast. 5 hours were on spraying and weed inspections, and 41 hours on sign repairs. Road concerns were grading on Golf Road, G Avenue, Lackawanna, and gravel for Golf Road, Lincoln Way, and Lackawanna. G Avenue, we have an issue with the resident. He doesn't like it when we maintain, so whenever we do it, he tears it up. So we've had the neighbors call him in, we've had the police out there visiting with this gentleman, so hopefully that'll take care of that issue.
He thinks what's he tear it up with?
His pickup, four-wheelers, stuff.
You know, four-wheeler?
UTV. That's what I heard.
Yeah, he just waits till our operator goes by and then he goes out there. And so hopefully, yeah, he thinks that the road's rough, people will go slow and...
Oh, he wants it to be rough, yeah, so that people slow down.
Yeah.
It makes his own speed bumps.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I never heard of that before. Would that, yeah. But do we need to take any action? I mean, because that sounds almost dangerous to me.
The deputy's gone down there and had a talk with
okay.
him. And if it continues, he'll be cited. So I'm hoping with the deputies paying him a visit, mm-hmm. we won't have any more issues.
That would seemingly make it more dangerous to have a lot more rough. Okay. Oh, I'm glad that we've got a plan working on that. Any other questions for Jolene on these projects and things happening?
Mike, I got one. Brett talked to me about having somebody grade for him while he's working on Blyberg. Mm-hmm. Is that something where we could have one of the guys, maybe we'd want some overtime on Friday or something to go out and kind of make up for that, that work, you think? Or?
I would think so, yeah. I'll talk to him.
And that way maybe he can get that project kind of finished up, you know, we'll have more time. That might sound like a good idea to me.
Yeah, when he kind of gets called away. Brent's kind of getting pulled in about 10 different directions right now with Fred being gone, so.
Yeah.
I'll make a note of that and we'll talk all over tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Road report, any other thing?
The fleet summary, you can see how many hours.
Oh, it's on the back.
The equipment that's on the back.
Okay.
Too, so. You want to look that over? That's back.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to maybe sometime, Joel, stop out and you can explain all this to me, how these numbers all come into play and look at it.
We can hook you right up on the system so you can get on your computer, your phone, and see what everybody did like the previous day or whatever. It's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. So at any point in time, if someone calls you in, we can kind of look up where that road was hit on Monday as part of our team.
You can see where everybody's been.
Okay. Go ahead. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. We'll move on then. If that's enough, everything about the road report, we'll move on to item B. And Jolene, you're going to give us an update on the sale of surplus sale items.
Yeah, I would say that we sold the stuff on Big Iron, and it looked to be pretty successful. Got a lot more money out of stuff than I thought we would. But so we sold, two scrapers. One was for parts, and one was functional. It just needed some work on it. Flatbed trailer, fuel containment system, and a pickup. So the total was $17,668. The commission was taken off and some titling fees, which left us with $15,657.70 for our surplus.
Julie, you said a flatbed trailer?
Yes.
Let's go in the yard.
Nothing has been picked up yet.
That's a...
Here, this is the one.
So that low boy.
Well, that's a low boy.
That's a low boy. That's the one they sold.
What about the flatbed trailer, though?
Still working on getting that title.
He has the title.
He does now.
I'll stop and pick it up this week at his office.
Okay.
Who is the guy?
Mike Robinette.
Oh, Mike Robinette?
Yeah, just because his CFO couldn't figure out where the trailer was to get it inspected and this and that. Yeah, when I text Mike, he had his guy call me on a conference call, and he wasn't, yeah, I think it was just a miss, yeah.
Yeah,
he's solid, he's solid. Yes.
So does this address everything out there then? That
except we'll probably discuss advertising that trailer when we get the title.
The title is the last piece.
It'd either be that, or just take it to Taylor Martin. It was roadworthy.
You could call Taylor Martin. Their next sale is the 23rd of July. I think it's the 23rd.
So by the month.
22nd. Yeah. It's the 22nd.
I don't know the difference in the information. What these guys will have to present. I don't know what that amount is.
We'll call and ask them.
Yeah, they kind of give you an idea of what it's worth, obviously, but they can tell you one thing and it'll bring something totally different. Then they're done that.
Yeah, they don't have to work that way.
Just all depends who shows up.
Mm-hmm. What's the flatbed worth?
We paid $7,700 for it.
You'd probably bring five for sure. Just a guess.
Was it a spread axle?
No. I don't think
close
so.
Close tandem?
It was a tandem. Nice 48 foot, I think.
So will another resolution need to be done for that?
It looks like these people came from pretty far away to get this stuff.
If you're going to get rid of it or think about it, I'd probably go back to big iron. You get a lot more
people looking at it.
What's that?
You don't have to worry about flat tires hauling it in.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, if I was going to, that auction just scares me. I've been burnt.
And this, I mean, they bid on this, right? This is kind of like a bidding platform?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people see it?
Yeah. We got a lot of calls.
Did you?
Yeah. And a lot of bids. I don't think, I haven't looked at this, but some items have, you can watch it when it's bidding and see how many actual bids you had. And there was quite a few
good activity.
People.
And they advertise pretty well.
Oh, they're awesome, even on Facebook.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll make a motion to approve this, these five items? Five items? Yeah, the big iron sale. I assume those prices are good?
Yeah. I'll second.
$15,657.70 net proceeds.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Thanks, Jolene, for your work on that, too.
Thank you.
All right. Our next item on the agenda is item number 4D, discussion on a county policy regarding additional expenditures under governing body powers.
You do not have the amended.
Oh, I don't?
In front of you, so
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Item C. Okay. Oh, I do have that one. I skipped it. I made a mark okay by Jolene, and my fault. Item C. Approved chair to sign the award and conditions for the Community-Based Juvenile Services Aid Program Grant number 22-CB-507 from the Crime Commission for July 2021 to June 2022 in the amount of $87,115. Is this Sarah that does it, Sarah Dash?
Yes.
Are you here, Sarah? Okay. Can you come up and give us the details on that, please?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So this is our community-based aid grant that we utilize to fund our juvenile diversion programming, all our alternatives to detention, which helps us to keep kids out of juvenile detention, which is quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We also utilize some other more supportive services or fund more supportive services, like a family support program, which helps our families that are maybe having trouble with parenting or things like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
So it's primarily the program areas that we use, but do you have any other questions about it? I'd be happy to answer more specifically about anything.
Is it pretty much the same?
It's exactly the same. It's the grant application that I presented probably in December-ish, I feel like, of 2020.
Yeah, because you rewrote the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. That goes with our juvenile services plan that we have to resubmit every 3 years, and then we used to do this grant every... year.
Uh-huh.
Now they've made it every 2 years, which is a blessing.
Yes, right.
So how come it's only for 1 year then?
The budget year, so they only give you 1 year of money. So okay. We'll have to resubmit a budget
okay.
Next year, but mm-hmm. we don't have to redo the entire grant application.
Okay. So the priorities and the items
priorities
are still...
will stay the same mm-hmm. and all of that. We'll just resubmit our budget.
And this covers your salary and your expenses for your
yep,
department?
Yep, absolutely. Okay.
Any other questions for Sarah on that grant and how it works? And at some point, I'm assuming we'll get kind of a report that shows how many were served this past year. That
absolutely.
Yep.
We could do that. Yeah.
Perfect. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion, but okay. I'm not for sure what the number is because it's not on my...
Problem grant.
I think you laid it here. Oh, 22-CB-507. Okay, so I'll make a motion to have the chair sign and award conditions of the Juvenile Services Aid Program grant of the 22-CB-507 Grant Commission for July 2021 to June 2022, in the amount of $87,115. That's my motion.
Second.
Thanks.
All right, Scott, Bob.
All right, thank you
all
very
right.
much.
A lot of twos going on there.
Yeah. All right. Roll on that one.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, now we're down to item D. Jumped ahead there for a second. I think the last meeting we talked a little bit about expenditures policies as it relates to accounts payable. And there is a copy of the statute 13-2203 in your packet. Talks about things, expenditures, authorized expenditures related to workshops, conferences, mileage, meals when you travel for business, recognition dinner, limited to $50 per year, an annual recognition annual recognition dinner for $50 max.
I got a question while we're talking about this here. Mm-hmm. This might be something a little bit off the wall, but if when it comes to business of accounts payable,
mm-hmm.
it's like say for instance if you know my business would do some work for the mm-hmm. county, like on the road department, if mm-hmm. they would, I'd have to abstain from that, correct?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I knew at one time I think we overlooked that until the state came in. So even if like Larry, for instance, if Mark's on there, if something just because it's family, we have, is that right?
I think so. For yeah. But it's just one, okay. that particular item, though,
sure,
isn't it?
Because I wasn't for sure how that.
But not the whole accounts payable, but just the item related
right.
to.
Right.
Yeah, that we have a connection with. Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
Well,
I just remember hearing that. I just wanted to mm-hmm. clarify it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know last time we were talking about uniform policy was one of the things that come up, but I know as I've looked at accounts payable, I think it's we need to, for the benefit of our elected officials and our department folks that are spending money, people with credit cards, clarify the policy as to which expenditures will approve and things like that. I know over the years we've had different things come through, and I always feel bad when you have to go back and say this isn't an approved expense. So I'm wondering if we should either put a committee together or here now kind of say these are, you know, because otherwise it comes up in an audit, and it's not fun when it comes up in an audit. They come to you and say, why did you spend money on X? Like I said, uniforms was the last thing we talked about, but there has been things like food and things like that that we've also talked about that have caused some, you know. And it's only fair to the people that, you know, you swipe your credit card thinking you're going to get those donuts paid for or whatever, and it doesn't, and it came after water bottles.
I mean, isn't there some kind of a cheat sheet that you can, you know, specify things that you can pass out to everyone? That, you know, I don't know, just instead of throwing a committee together and talking about, I mean, there has to be some kind of a formula of some sort or some type of criteria, I would think.
And that's maybe what we need to establish. That's what this says. We need to have a policy that sets dollar limits on any.
Everything's policy
procedures. Kim, I mean, you Are you, I know you looked at this last time. Do you have any suggestions regarding what that policy should look like, or is the statute adequate?
So you have to have a public hearing and a policy before you can send anything from number three.
Anything from number three? Oh, just three. Just three.
Yes. We have our pot fund that we do our
Christmas party?
Christmas party with our recognition dinner. Otherwise, that we would have to have a resolution establishing that, but we don't use taxpayer funds to do that.
So, even though most of this is covered by statutes already in place, we have to, we can amend those. I have our own policy. No. Kim, I guess I'm...
You can't amend, but maybe abbreviate? Make it a little easy?
Make it cleaner so people can mm-hmm. see what, because rather than read through all of these, I mean, that's kind of cumbersome.
What's
for me.
What's easier to mm-hmm. look at quickly?
Mm-hmm. Usually,
if you're I mean... Here, but isn't that a lot of that in the handbook already?
I don't think
mileage.
So.
Mileage?
No, uh-uh.
Well, the mileage. We don't have to...
Meals per day.
We have a per diem, I think.
I send that book. Mileage thing out every year that I get from the state, mm-hmm. but, you know, so that we have that. But, and then, yeah, meals and lodging is in the mm-hmm. handbook.
Well, usually, I mean, just... speaking from a past elected or on the other side, you know, it's like meals, mm-hmm. Lodging, mileage. I mean, it's pretty cut and dried when you're buying something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was always more leery of you know, mm-hmm. using that county credit card mm-hmm. to buy something mm-hmm. that, because let's face it. If you think it's not gonna fly, it's probably not gonna fly. And so there's really, to mm-hmm. me, I mean, there's no, right now, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. It's you know, what's covered or what's not.
Mm-hmm. I think the things that have come through that I've noticed in the last 6 months are things like purchasing food for, various people, but a lot of times that will come under a grant, you know, like of some sort. Or I think the health department had shirts. I mean, that's the only, because those things kind of jump out, and that came under a grant as well, as far as clinics, COVID clinics. But the clothing is probably the one that comes up, and every once in a while some food that's not food and water, that's not mm-hmm. for an event, it's internal.
I don't know what we need to do. We need to develop anything further than what we have in place? I don't know.
Or do we just maybe have you know, when we get a group together to talk about budget for this next year, we could just cover those items, make it a nice bulleted format that
sounds like a plan
that summarizes this.
If you want to give plaques, certificates of achievement, or items of value with tax expenditure of public funds, then you're required to have a public hearing and establish a policy.
And nobody's getting a plaque.
If you don't want to give a plaque or certificates of achievement, then you don't have to do anything.
Don't have to do anything?
With this, is the way I see it.
And the value of it, the plaque, it speaks of that, how much the plaque is.
It doesn't say. You have to set a dollar a limit that in your policy.
Or item of value to be awarded to the
right.
person.
So, Troy, after your 20 year here as a commissioner, you're not going to get a plaque.
Or a gold watch. No gold watch either.
And we've given out plaques, but we pay for it ourselves.
Yeah.
Out of the pot fund? Like,
no.
Or just gather money? Just
other
just collection money. Okay. And I'm familiar with that, too. We used to do that, too, just do a little collection.
Okay.
So, I guess, with that said... So if we don't want to do a policy per se, would it at least be wise to summarize this so that things don't come through that shouldn't come through, and we have to go back and say, who's going to pay for this? I guess that's where it gets a little awkward.
So you want to make a cheat sheet, kind of, just or something simple for everybody to look at, is what you're thinking?
Or at least talk with our budget managers, maybe?
Should that be in the form of a resolution?
Yes.
Oh, a resolution.
So we'll develop a resolution for...
Approved expenses or things like that. Because I guess I do feel bad when I have to call somebody and say, oh, do you have a grant for that? Otherwise, I'm, you know, it wouldn't be approved. And I did find Boulder County, Colorado actually had a handbook that kind of covered some of those things, like, you know, for instance, we talked about uniforms last time. It said, if you're in the utility department, you know, you have to wear chemical something garb if you're public safety. But in the office department, it did say zero. I mean, it had all these categories as to which departments had different allowances, and all the office was zero, but it did have certain departments, two or three, that had 100 or 200 for... What?
Sure, okay. Next meeting we're going to have a
resolution?
Yep.
Maybe if I get to it.
And I'll do some research too, if they'll see that other county. But I think it would help. I think it would be very, it's fair to the budget managers for sure. I'll make a start and work on that. All right, that's item D. We are down to item E, and this is our closed session regarding some litigation and personnel issues. So I think we need to go into closed session for this.
I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
Okay, all right, thanks, Bob. And Scott will second that. And closed session is 3:40. Litigation.
Sure. Oh, no, I'm
discuss
just kidding.
Pending litigation. Kimberly M. Watson, Dakota County Attorney, versus the County Board. Case C-1210195. Pending litigation. Kimberly M. Watson, Dakota County Attorney, versus the County Board of Commissioners. Case number 1C-1210195.
It should be.
Will there be a decision coming out of this, or?
That's all you have to do.
God, do you lower my chair again?
No, I didn't. What do you got?
Okay.
Go.
Scott, just say it again.
Okay. Come out closer.
Now we've got the quarter on.
Oh, make a motion to come out of closed session.
I'll second.
All right.
Jen?
Kick a roll, yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do I need to? Can we just move on to the next item?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Number five is commissioner committee report. So, has anybody been to any meetings related to their particular department? Or
I've been meeting with the health department, and it seems like everything's kind of went stagnant a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like it's mm-hmm. So, I met with the gals last week, and what we're going to do is, it seems like a lot of the board members are all busy and they can't get together and this and that. So I called a special meeting for tomorrow at noon, and we're going to discuss the committee who for the hiring process mm-hmm. for the director, mm-hmm. and then there was something else too.
Set up interviews.
But yeah, to set up the interviews. But I'd like to, and I haven't talked to them yet, but I'd like to set the interviews up for after the 4th. Like I'm thinking like the 7th. Hopefully, and then we should know something to bring to the board, to this board here by the 12th of July, so then we can have somebody into place.
Okay.
That's kind of what my game plan is. So we'll see who all shows up tomorrow and who wants to be on the committee. And
to have a quorum.
What's that?
Is there enough to have a quorum, or does the board need to appoint first?
You mean to the meeting tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be enough. Yeah, because when she set the agenda out, I think she had enough people respond. And then also what we're going to discuss is the board member term limits of who wants to be around or who's planning on staying. And so it's kind of getting everything, it's kind of going to be new on track.
Get cleaned up and
So mm-hmm. I'll need some help from Kim in her office, but mm-hmm. we're going to get it, we'll get it squared away here hopefully by the 12th, and we'll have a new director in position. Yeah, they just need some, noon. Yep.
Good. Well, I'm glad things are kind of moving along, and you know, if it takes a few extra weeks, that's fine. I mean, it's best to get it right.
Yeah, we'll try to get it right.
Good.
This time.
Good. It's because summer's hard. It's hard to get people together.
Hey, it is.
Vacations, what have you. So good. Well, thanks for coordinating that.
Yeah, we'll try
anxious
to
hear how.
Out and see what happens tomorrow. But I'll keep everybody. Hopefully, at the next meeting, we'll have somebody in line mm-hmm. for recommendation.
Perfect. Other committee reports from anyone?
Can I ask what's the status for replacing Fred as a foreman, road foreman? Has anybody think we've done anything
we
there?
We have no applications. The deadline is July 2.
July 2nd?
Why is there a deadline?
Just so that way we can set up interviews after that.
We have to start saying, okay.
And how many applicants do we have?
None.
I have.
But you can extend it if you don't get any applicants, or I don't know. I don't know.
Pretty short.
Hopefully we'll get some by July 2nd. We'll be good.
I want to be on that interview committee. Last no, I'm talking about if there's none.
Wow. July 2nd, that's like next. I just realized that's this week.
This Friday.
Okay.
I've had a few people internally that's talked to me and asked me, you know, about what's happening. And at the time, I didn't know. But I'm assuming it's
tell them there's no applicants.
it's out there, but you know, it's okay. I was just kind of wondering. So July 2nd is the cutoff time.
Okay. I talked to two people that had some interest. Okay. And I think that
should get them here by July 2nd.
Well, it's not probably going to happen by then. That's why I say I don't understand what the rush.
It's been a month.
Any different today than they were 6 months ago.
Can you apply online?
No.
No.
It's been vacant since June 1st, though, so that's about a month.
And this is the thing, the way I look at it is you put it out there, you see what you have, and let's say, for instance, four people came, you know, and if they don't meet the criteria and the satisfaction, I mean, you just...
How are we going about the advertising for that position?
It's in the...
I can't answer that.
It was in the paper, and it's on the website, I believe.
It is on the NACO website, the paper, and I contacted the Sioux City Journal. We put it in the Sunday paper.
I think I've seen it on 2-8.
Sure
or no,
it
times. Was...
Couldn't get a response.
And it's a nice big... I mean, it's pretty big. If people, you know, there's lots of things in the paper right now with jobs. I think that's there's just a lot of jobs out there, but hopefully they're seeing it.
So, okay, well, second, I guess we'll see where we're at.
So is currently then, is Brent, was Fred's right-hand man?
Okay,
second in charge.
Okay. And Jolene continues to do the paperwork and, you know, all the process payroll stuff. And we've been meeting with the, working on negotiations too, but we don't have an update just yet, but we're working on that, so moving along. Any other reports? Okay. Any mail or emergency business we have today, Joan, that didn't make the agenda that we need to talk about? I do know today is the Hovey public hearing that we got notice of last meeting.
Hovey.
I think it was Hovey, something like that. I know I made a note to myself.
5:00.
5:00 at the City Hall. I don't really know what it entails, but they did want us to be aware of that.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to make it to it just so I kind of figure out how it works for them. I've never been to a public hearing for something like that. Okay. Any other mail or emergency business?
Just something to note. We're going to have to schedule a board meeting on August 30th for a budget hearing. There's LB 148 passed, and it requires us to have a budget hearing separate from the board meeting with no end time. But she did tell us if no one showed up after 15 minutes, we could close the public hearing. We'd have to sit there all day, but we can't do it during a meeting or before a meeting. It has to be after a meeting, and it doesn't work to have it after our August 23rd meeting, because I have to advertise it in the Star and I won't even have the value by then, so I can't even set a levy. So
we got to come here set for 15 minutes minimum.
Is that a 3:00, Joan?
Well, when do you want it? Do you want it at 5 p.m.? Do you, so that
it's
open to the public?
Let's make it at 9:00 in the morning. 15 minutes and we're out of here. Guaranteed.
What are you doing now?
Or a regular time, 3:00 or... A regular time or 5? I mean,
3 is fine with me. Board meeting time.
Or, I mean, does the public, since it's a public hearing, do we have to be more open to the public? I mean, I guess we're always open to the public.
I mean, you could. At 5:30 or 6, if you want the public involved.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of talk about budgets and what have you. So then we could make it more accessible than all to people that work 8 to 5.
Then they have time to get here.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing would be possibly noon.
Mm-hmm.
6 p.m.?
That's fine.
Okay.
It's all with noon. If anybody's intrigued or interested about it, they can show up here for lunchtime. Buy lunch. Huh? Maybe buy lunch.
I like the idea. I mean, I've often thought we should have these meetings at night, just because that's what I was accustomed to. I mean, with
Okay.
Just so that people want to come, they can come.
Right? I got a lot going on at 6 o'clock at nighttime.
We should be just getting off work.
Shoot.
I'm mowing by then somewhere.
I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
How do I turn this off?
You just say no.
I know, but usually I can put a message
in. Hit the red button.
Red button.
Yeah, usually I can say a message. I'm tied up right now, but it wouldn't let me do that this time.
Okay.
All right.
Adjourn?
That would be, that's the last item, isn't it, we had on our agenda? Okay. So we will adjourn the regular Board of Commissioners meeting at 4:05.
Okay. So you just come out of recess, right?
Yeah.
Oh, from this morning?
Yep.
Okay. So we don't have to do that.
Just reconvene.
Okay. Here.
Scott Love.
You bet.
Robert Gacy.
Here.
Larry Evans.
The current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted to the wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room. Is available for review by all citizens in attendance. And we'll move to two then, the consent agenda. A, approval of the previous minutes of June 14, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. Move down to three, which is new business. A, Christie Ops Assessor requesting approval for corrections to real property. Okay, amended property, clerical error, undervalued, and overvalued, real property, tax list corrections.
Okay. The first one I have is for Greg and Amy Utek. This was the one we discussed this morning, the bin that was a farm credit, and I just added the bin to their property since they are the owners and the buyers. The next one was Dwayne and Gail Rohde. He came in and stated that we had some year builds wrong on some sheds, so I went ahead and changed those. Next one was another Dwayne Rohde. Year built on a Quonset, he told us was wrong, so we changed that. Another Dwayne Rohde, different Quonset, same name, another Dwayne. Then we have Gordy Crow's, his aunt's house that's over here by the, where am I at?
Gordy.
His aunt.
By the stoplight across from K&B.
Is it Eva? Eva's
house? It was.
Yeah. For some reason, the functional came off. I mean, nobody can live in that. So we put the functional back onto the house because nobody can live in that. I wouldn't. It's a raccoon house. So he'll get another one. So the functional came off for some reason on it. And Mr. Ron Rohde lives out here on 35. We went out, remeasured a couple times. We had measured wrong, so we'll send him a new valuation notice. what we changed it to. We adjusted some sizes on his house.
And we need to do this one again.
All those are correct. Yep, those are the
BOs.
And then I have two tax list corrections.
I think there's two.
Harold and Virginia Sagert. The state reneged on what they already told me. They gave them 100% on their homestead. VSL Emerson is the next four of them, I think. Two for personal property, two for the real estate for 19 and 20. And that's those corrections.
Everything is on this sheet right here. This,
yeah.
This spreadsheet and then
yep.
This attachment,
yep.
Homestead.
Yep.
Yeah, the name, so the names aren't on here that you mentioned.
Oh,
but that,
okay, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's
yep.
Where I was. Okay.
So four VSLs, so, yeah. A Sagert.
Mm-hmm. So these are all corrections.
Mm-hmm.
I can make a motion to accept the corrections.
I'll second.
Approve the corrections, I mean.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
B, board to consider the need to set additional dates and times to hear valuation protests.
We talked to Sam this morning. He was available on the 20th of July. If we want to set that date, just in case we get...
Well, that was on a Tuesday, that's right.
Yeah.
20th of July.
A lot of dates floating around here. I don't know. Pretty busy guy.
At 9? Is that what he said?
Huh?
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
He hoped to have them all done on the 12th, but hard to tell.
That was 9 a.m., correct?
So we'll go, we're going to do the 10th, or excuse me, the 20th at 9 a.m.?
Okay.
Okay.
And, okay.
Make sure you remind me of this stuff, Joan, right?
Okay. We need a motion on that, Joan? To set that date?
I don't think
so. Okay.
So when is the next date that we have BOE?
12th,
okay. In the morning, 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Board meeting.
Yeah, board meeting okay. Day.
All right.
Okay. C, board to discuss and determine valuation for each community development agency of South Sioux City CDA property for purposes of paying in lieu taxes, 18-21-37.
Away we go.
Here we go, Mr. Mike Schmidt,
Christy,
live.
Christy, where did you put that? If they're going to look at each one,
looking
where
good,
did
good.
That get?
I just sent it in an email.
No.
Oh,
really?
For
the
sure.
I thought they put it on the B drive.
No,
no,
this looks
huge.
This looks expensive.
Not for you guys.
No, I know.
You got
me. As the list turns out to say, I'm going to be brief. I'm going to try to be. My name is Mike Schmidt. I'm the city attorney for South Sioux City, the CDA. I think I probably need to give you a little bit of history. What I think happened was in January of 2020, the city was supposed to send down a list of leases of CDA property. We made that happen, but it didn't get here. We couldn't find it. So the assessor's office then set values on some of this community development agency's property.
It didn't have any before.
Some did, some didn't. But since they didn't have the list, they just kind of blanketly put them all and assessed them. So we appealed those because, first off, we thought they were exempt, and second off, we thought some of the values were wrong. So we had a TURC hearing and to consider those things, and the TURC came back and said, and I have, that's one of the papers you have, it's the very last one, I think, it's their language in their decision, says we don't have jurisdiction because CDA doesn't pay taxes. So I think there's been some discussion here that you guys have had about what exactly does the CDA do and pay, and they pay in lieu of tax. And so that's where we get to this PowerPoint. As you can see, I have it so I can read it myself without.
I was going to say,
I made it that way so we can.
Sorry, you need to wear your glasses for this one.
Yeah. So, in general, the statute that's also attached says that CDAs do not pay taxes. They pay in lieu of taxes. That doesn't mean they don't pay anything. Okay? They pay, and for the first year they have the property, they pay what the valuation was the year before. Then after that, you guys, so I'm already on page 4, in any subsequent year, that can be adjusted by this board. And you can set it wherever you want, but it's as justice and equity may require. So I think we're really talking semantics here. We just call it something different. Now, I think that caused some issues with Chrissy because it really hadn't been done, and people were struggling with this throughout the state. So right now we have some on appeal. That I think what we're going to find out is they're just going to say we don't have jurisdiction because you don't pay taxes. Now that changes again if the CDA leases it, just like it does if the city leases it. If the city leases property, then they got to pay tax, and that's where Christy can help you determine that. And so if everything goes according to plan, you're going to get this list of leases from the CDA, and then you're going to be able to determine, hey, how much should the CDA have to pay in lieu of taxes? Just a different name. Could be the same amount as they would pay as if you were putting a value and assessing it. You guys could do that. Now, do we want you to do that? No, we want it to come in lower, but we can talk about that as you go through the process, okay? So you don't have to necessarily have the assessor help you, but I'm sure you're going to. You're going to have the assessor come in. So the board may want the assessor to assist in setting a just and equitable in lieu of tax. And they do that in other areas. I know Chrissy's talked about it. I don't know what they are. And then once, this is where you get to, once the CDA starts leasing these properties, then it kicks back into an assessed value that the CDA has to pay. And they have some of those right now. And so there are some of them that the CDA is going to have to pay a tax on because they have leases on them. Now, we may have arguments later on or discussions later on. Ordinary leasing rules apply. Property leased for profit is not exempt, but an undeveloped property incidentally leased remains exempt. So we're still probably going to argue with you about some farm lease. We're going to say that's just incidental, but that's down the road. All I'm trying to ask you to do today is establish that the CDA in general does not pay tax. They pay in lieu of tax unless they lease the property. So the CDA has now received valuation notices that we could appeal on the 30th because we don't believe they're supposed to pay tax. They're supposed to pay in lieu of tax. Now, I don't know how, if we can't get that changed, I don't know what we're going to do because in our opinion, the CDA does not pay taxes. They pay in lieu of taxes, and all these documents support that. I think at some point somebody may have given you an opinion or was looking at it for you.
But wouldn't they have to have a value to come up with some kind of?
And they will.
But you said that they came out with values on them, and that was that the trigger?
Well, they called it a tax valuation. If you guys just call it something different, and we don't care, call it a payment in lieu of tax. That's what it needs to be called. It could be the same number.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if that's a problem on the system.
I can't do that, no. I'll have to call the whole thing exempt, which is fine. I don't know how the tax works. I have no idea.
That's where we're stuck. Uh-huh. Because, so, we can start appealing some more, and then, I mean, if we don't get it where we think it needs to be, we're going to have to file something in court. And I don't want to have to do that. I think it's clear that they are exempt except in the circumstances I'm telling you. And I don't expect a decision today, but so we I think Nancy and I talked about, the clerk is here too, this is Nancy. I don't know if we're going to appeal any of them or not, but we think that that's an error that needs to be corrected, because it can't continue to be called a tax when the statute doesn't allow it. It doesn't allow it. And all of it's there. I mean, you can look at it. Look at the regs. It's clear. And even the Turk decision that we're going to go argue says property owned by CDS by law, public property used for essential government purpose, and shall be exempt from all taxes.
So do you get a tax statement?
Per parcel?
It's something the treasurer's going to have to send us.
Yeah. It's got to be something.
You just get a.
We got the normal stuff that Nancy's got a whole file of them that we usually get as a city for property that's being leased.
But this is new. This is different. This is in lieu of tax. I have no idea how it works. It has nothing to do with our office.
I get what
it's
you're
something
saying.
That
lieu of
the treasurer has to send them.
See, so that's where the. Because you're going to want her help, because you guys don't have the expertise to really be
because
setting.
So if we say that, let's say the parcel has, the taxes due are $1,000.
Yes.
But what you're saying is, so the in lieu, we can adjust?
Yeah.
As an in lieu, we can adjust and say, well, we don't think it's $1,000, it's $500.
The first year that the CDA has a property is set. It's set from the year before. Mm-hmm. After that, you can go up or down.
But I have to keep up with my values. Otherwise, if somebody protests, they can say, well, you're not keeping up with your values. So I have to be at the market value, no matter if it's exempt or not.
Right.
I have no problem with what she's doing. Uh-huh. That's certainly a guidepost for you, but it can't be called a tax. It has to be called in lieu of tax. So that's where we're struggling over this terminology.
I'm not quite getting how you call it a tax. So it's in lieu versus a tax.
Yes, it's in lieu. Not
right. It's still money.
So that's the way the statute.
It's still money. It's coming in.
You still get the same exact amount. And we agree.
It's a substitute for property tax. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we've agreed on the ones on appeal that we'll pay what you guys have determined.
So does the board set the value and to determine the tax, or does the board?
I don't know that you could. I think you can.
Well, that's what the way I mean.
That's why I said you'll probably do it the same way. You're just going to call it something.
You're going to call it
in lieu of tax. Here's what we're assessing you in lieu of tax. This is what you're going to pay. It could be the exact same number. Mm-hmm. But it's a system. I don't know how we get it to jive. Because right now we have valuation notices that need to be appealed by June 30th, mm-hmm. which. It's not, in my opinion, that's not right, because we should not have a tax statement. We should not be paying tax. I say we, the CDA, should not be paying tax. They should be paying in lieu of. So,
but the value and the tax are two different things.
Sure, absolutely.
Just because it has a $500,000 value doesn't mean the tax is going to be.
Sure.
So I guess I don't understand also then where you're coming from with the, just because it has a value that.
Just call it
in lieu
of tax. Don't call it a tax. You got to call it something different.
But the value, I'm saying the value.
You can look at the value, but you don't have to.
Right.
You can't, but that's probably what you're going to do. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is the value and the tax are two different animals.
And what I'm telling you is we got to stop using the term tax when it comes to CDA. That's all I'm telling you. It's just different nomenclature, in my opinion, just different words. You can have the same thing happen, but it also sets it up in a different situation, because we can't continue to try to appeal these valuation tax things because the law doesn't allow it. The Turk's not going to let us do it. And if we go to hearing, which is worse, I don't remember when we're scheduled, Kim, is it end in the fall or something?
Yeah.
I think they're going to tell us, we don't have jurisdiction. CDA should not be paying taxes. What are you doing here? And so what happened, what got the ball rolling is this lease list didn't get down here, or did get down here, got lost, whatever. They did what they thought they needed to do, assess all the CDA properties and put a valuation of tax on it. We appealed those, and now they're saying, well, you shouldn't be appealing to us. You don't pay, CDA doesn't pay tax. And then there was some other messed up stuff that happened that I don't want to get into, but one of the buildings is not, there's a building on city property that's not, they don't own the ground underneath it. It's a mess. That one, that's a city deal. That's not a CDA deal. So I don't want to mix up the issues. So I guess all I'm asking is to figure out how you process these so that the CDA is not paying what's called a tax. You just call it in lieu of tax, you're paying this amount. Could be the same amount. But I don't know how to put the system together myself, other than I could, if you guys say no, we're going to continue to do this, then what I think I would do, and this isn't a threat by any means, I don't want to do it, but I think I'd go to court, I'd file what's called a mandamus action, and I'd say, you need to stop calling this a tax and call it in lieu of tax. And then I think the judge is going to say, well, you guys can look at that. I mean, I think it's all there.
So you guys in the past would pay on your statements that you got, so that's a tax, right?
Yeah, we did.
And normal, we did. Larry pays all his,
yep.
he gets a statement, he pays his taxes.
Yep.
So in the past, that's what you got.
Yes, that's what we do.
You get a statement, you pay the tax.
But now remember, some of them we didn't pay any because right. they weren't leased property, mm-hmm. and we would get those leases. Those are the ones that would get the... And that's still fine. That's still working okay. Mm-hmm. It's the ones that don't have a lease or have an incidental lease that are the ones that we
need to be in lieu.
That's where we think you got to pay the in lieu.
Well, we'll call it whatever you want to call it.
I thought we had that agreed to, but Chrissy doesn't have a way to do it. So I don't know how we
call it exempt. I mean, it does, but it doesn't have anything to do with our office.
Yeah.
I just call right. it exempt.
Christy, the state does in lieu of tax. We collect in lieu of taxes. The treasurer's office does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to
what,
do with
what do other, have you looked at other,
so
what other counties?
So yeah, it's so something this that is relatively should maybe come new. From the Board of Equalization rather than coming from the assessor's office?
Yeah, it's something they have to decide. Like he said, I can give you a suggestion of what the value, I have to keep up the value no matter if it's exempt.
And is
or
that
not.
The properties that you mm-hmm. gave us?
These ones here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is that what, those are the ones that...
Are those
yeah,
the
I
ones
mean, that? I can make him exempt, and then it's up to the treasurer's office how they're going to send him something.
These are the ones that,
maybe
that
it
are
needs
in
to come. Maybe it needs to come from Board of Equalization.
Yeah, that's an idea. Maybe we should approve those values and in
yeah,
lieu
the,
of tax.
No, the one that you sent the other day.
Okay. Yeah, that, those are the ones I put together.
I think we can fix this problem.
I really don't, yeah. I yeah. think it's really not going to make a big difference. We just got to get the procedure straight
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I mean, Holly, we had two or three that, on this round.
And the whole thing is it really wouldn't matter except if we disagreed with the value, the Turk is telling us they can't
they
hear
won't
it.
Hear.
Yeah,
we
have to settle that.
So we'll just have to set a value, you guys will have to agree with it and pay it and go on.
Yeah, so
and you don't have to
so
call it.
Sure
so,
that
but they,
right
as Christie's point. As Christie's saying, they would have to
we have
come
to
come with
to
something
value.
To us on a value.
Mm-hmm.
They
as,
can't.
As the Board
they
of Equalization.
Can.
Right.
They don't have
and
to. But I, that's why I put in there. You would probably want their assistance because you're not equipped to.
Right.
To go and set your own value.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll come in here and tell you they should all be like a dollar.
Right.
And then, I mean, but that's not going to fly.
Chris,
so,
it should stay equalized.
Yes, they have to be equalized.
Okay.
So somebody
okay.
gets processed
okay.
and we can get in big trouble.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I have to keep up the value no matter what.
Yeah.
So yeah. even on the in lieu of tax, I don't even know how. There's no real mechanism if we disagree with that. I think we got to file something in court because we can't go to Turk. It'd have to be an appeal, and I don't. So anyway, I just want to get us doing calling the right thing. Let's get it paid. Let's get this appeal dismissed, and move forward.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't
mm-hmm.
come down to those.
And then we collect it in lieu of tax, and then we distribute it to the appropriate districts, the
yeah.
school, the
yes, in
fire
lieu of
district,
tax. And then the ones that do have leases, you collect just like you always do. And that goes, you know, if there's a TIF, it goes to the title.
So
it goes to the TIF. If it's something else, it goes, you know, to the other schools and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
So you just got to let everybody know the word of the day is?
In lieu.
In lieu.
In lieu.
Thank you very much.
But we
thanks,
still
Mike.
Can
yeah.
Yeah, receive income from the...
We can't be the only city that has the same problem.
Yeah, there's got to be other
no.
CDAs. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it.
Thank you for talking about it. It's happened.
So do we have to determine valuations at this point?
Oh, we don't have to make a decision on this today.
Yes, we can set these values.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
I can
set
a little task.
Yeah, it's on the agenda, so you can.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they can send out, and in lieu, bill.
We got all the property cards that I can show you up here. might put these together with Chris.
Okay, so we got to talk about each parcel number? What's up? The motion for each one? Yeah? There's only 12 of them?
Okay. Out of the way.
So like basically.
What if they leave to go to their other meeting?
They must be. Okay, so these, I got a question for you real quick. These CDA properties.
Yep.
You got all these parcel numbers. You guys have went through these.
Yep.
And you guys are copacetic for everything that's on the online there, right?
I mean, the value is what it is. I just make them exempt.
Okay. So let's get these. I know, it's a little bit confusing.
It is.
We'll go through all these here and make motions on each one of these here on the values that.
It is what they are.
Yeah, right.
For the 21.
And let her know that we adjourn.
Okay. Where did she send me an email?
Okay.
She sent me one.
Can I make a motion then, or can we get going here?
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to make a motion on parcel 220157170. The total taxable value of $106,005 on the CDA property. Okay?
Keep going.
And, okay. I'll just go all the way down through all of them. I can do that. Okay, I'll make a motion on 22015.
This is all the same motion, right?
Yes, all the same motion.
Okay.
220153388 of a total taxable of $1,230,500. Parcel number 220072108, the total taxable value of 108,780. Parcel number 220017646.
I'm just reading it off the board.
We're going to do a total taxable value of $16,800. We're going to do a parcel of 220158797. We'll do a total taxable value of $10,895. We'll do a parcel number 220071918 for a total taxable value of $126,220. Parcel number 220158908, $85,345. Parcel number 220073228, a total taxable value of $172,760. 220274468 parcel, a total taxable value of $56,420. 220273831 parcel, $4,870. And lastly, the parcel, the last one is 220026882, and we got a total taxable value of $234,240. That's my motion on the total.
Just 1 minute. Christy?
Yep.
What about the one that we have sale to Kevin Rogers on?
I didn't put that one in there.
I it's still there, and Scott has said it. So
which one is it?
It's
220015.
797 on the end.
Okay.
Did that value
this
ag sale to Kevin Rogers?
Oh, I don't even have it in my stuff. So
that should not.
That shouldn't be in there. That's a sale.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, it isn't. What about 58908? Did that one get mentioned?
908.
Yep.
No.
Don't see it.
Yes, 908 did. Yes,
it did.
Yes, yes. Okay. 85345.
Weeks West edition.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, Kevin Rogers bought that one. That should be in there.
So I'll take this. This one out right here. This one should not be in there.
Yep.
So I'm just gonna take the dollar amount out of there.
Where's 908? I don't see it on there.
908 is right here.
Oh, right there.
So do I have to withdraw my
motion? Okay, right below it.
I would.
Yep. Just pull it out. Just,
yeah.
I'll accept.
I'll accept.
Okay. I want to make a motion on all of the parcel numbers that I just read except 220158797.
Yep.
I'll second.
Of $10,895.
All right.
Can we read them again real quick? Did everybody catch up?
Yeah.
See attached spreadsheet.
Okay, Robert?
Yes.
Larry? Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
So do they have more that are on the protest?
I'd like to, we just, they need to get it, any protest filed by the 30th.
So what's the next step now in order for them not to file?
I make them exempt, and then I don't know if I give a list.
Okay. You give them to them as.
To the treasurer's office?
You give them a taxable value as exempt, or that you don't even send anything out.
No.
Not
that I know of, this is all new, like you said.
How come this has never happened before prior to 2020?
I don't know, there's got to be something in it.
You keep saying the treasurer's office, but aren't you the one that sets the levy?
No, because they just want it in lieu of tax. I don't have anything to do with that.
So, well, it's distributed like it would.
See, but do they pay all of the tax? I mean, do they pay for everything that's.
That's what it sounded like, I asked him about.
They just call it something different.
It still goes.
See, and I don't know how that works.
When you get in lieu of taxes, is it distributed to the subdivisions?
It's, I mean, everybody, you get everything.
And it's kind of property that.
Yep.
As far as this right now.
Whatever district.
The school, the fire district, all the pieces that were, wherever it's at.
It's still on your computer, it's taxable, we could maybe just.
No, because I'll have to make it exempt.
I know, but don't, wait just a second.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it gets to the treasurer's office, because my exempt stuff won't transfer to the treasurer's office.
Oh.
To do a bill, to send a bill?
When they come to pay the in lieu of tax.
To do it.
So we'll just have to, somehow we'll have to have a, the treasurer has to have a file, or yeah. A spreadsheet with just those properties on it.
And the values?
Okay. I mean, I can take the spreadsheet out and do it in lieu of tax.
And then we have to establish
tax. Some kind of a new statement, I don't know.
We establish the tax.
Well, we can charge like that, we can call it tax.
Oh, God.
We have to send them a bill for, somehow, for in lieu of tax.
A bill.
Not a value.
Just a tax, some kind of tax.
In lieu of tax.
Yeah, in lieu of tax statement.
Because if it's a problem, if they got to go to Turk.
Turk's not going to hear it anyway.
No, they don't hear.
Well, that's fine, we just, like I said, we can call it whatever you want us to call it.
I know.
It's, so we, so the board, the count, the board equalization has the option of either saying, either you're paying 100%, right?
Way sound, so far.
Or we set.
Well, that, how does it work too?
I suppose they can protest it, I suppose.
Let's say they buy ground in the middle of the year, how does that work?
Oh, don't ask questions.
Well, they always go on last year. The first year, you always go on last year.
Never.
It's the second year that you can start adjusting, I think, is what he said.
I mean, right now, it's fine. I mean, if there's, it's whatever, but, and then let's say they sell it, does it automatically get put on the regular tax roll, or how does that work?
Well, thank goodness there's not 1,000 parcels.
And they don't have to do it to all of them.
What?
They can pick and choose which ones they want to do this with. It's not every CDA.
Yes. Yes.
Well, as long as you generate revenue.
And I asked.
That's not going to sound more like Las Vegas.
Not.
Oh, I can answer more still.
What did you answer?
Like Las Vegas, we win.
No, I told her we're both in public session, but then my timing was off, is what I told her. Because I originally told her I thought about.
Or.
Right.
Answer no call to.
Is that what you said?
Nope, there is no.
So I'll make them exempt, and try to keep track of all that.
We'll have to.
Five is public comment.
So we'll, anyway, that's. We'll see if he wants to.
No public comment, so we'll move to adjournment.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
You want the special paper?